Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back with another edition of Outwit, Outplay, Outlist, the show where we take a look at Survivor's most arbitrary and reductive things and present to you a neatly defined list at the end of each episode of Survivor's most memorable, bests, and worst. And today we will be talking about Survivor's top noticeable hats. And here we are, got a great panel to talk about Survivor headwear here today with you. Let's bring in the co-creator of the RHAP B&B, where noticeable hats got started, Parade.com's own Mike Bloom.
And a tip of my cap to you, Rob, as we dive into a subject that is near and dear to my heart and my head. You know, I think that a lot of people ask when this podcast first started of like, what point are you going to get to in terms of just the ludicrosity of Survivor miscellaneous topics and three podcasts? And I think we've already hit that peak, and I'm so excited about
it. We're here. So excited. And we've got a great guest here with us to talk about the Survivor hats that I thought that maybe this person would help balance out Mike and I in terms of maybe bringing some fashion sense to this conversation. Please welcome the great Chantel Francis. Chantel, how are you?
I am pretty good. I mean, I've been locked in my home for the last few weeks, especially haven't been outside. So I was so happy.
Same. Yeah.
I had a reason to don a hat.
Yes. Okay. For our podcast listeners, what kind of hat are you wearing?
I'm going to say this is a Mexican cowboy hat.
Mexican cowboy hat.
I got it in Mexico on the beach. And I would say Mexican cowboy hat. I don't know if you guys disagree, but that's what I'm wearing.
Yes. What is the difference between a Mexican cowboy hat and a sombrero?
I think it's a brim thing.
Longer brim. Okay.
Maybe this is like a sombrero that like shrunk in the sun. It's like a shrinky dink sombrero.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Mike, you are wearing a ball cap. What hat is that?
It's my baseball team, the Starfleet Chips.
Yes.
And Russell Hance, I do not want to hear your Star Trek opinions. Thank you very much. I don't care what you think about my little Starfleet hat.
Yes. Is that a Buck Bokai?
No, yeah, exactly. I just came off playing 9 innings in the Hollow Suite. Boy, are my arms tired, but I'm here to run the bases and my mouth about some noticeable hats here.
That's the ball cap you wear when you want to be beat up by the other team.
Exactly. Everyone's like, oh, let's take a look at this loser. He's rocking a Starfleet cap.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, you two are wearing noticeable hats maybe I should follow suit.
Do it.
I have a noticeable hat here. Let me bring it out.
I'm so intrigued.
Here I have a hat that I wore on Survivor All-Stars.
Oh.
Very briefly.
Is it the same hat?
It's the same hat, yeah.
Wow. Did that hat get washed at all? I know it was very wet in Panama.
You can't wash a hat.
I think you can wash a hat.
Yeah, I don't think it comes out the same. I had a different hat in Survivor the Amazon, but it got burnt in the fire.
Mm-hmm. Along with the mirroring necklace that we talked about last time.
Yes. So that many things. So I have this hat from Survivor All-Stars, and then I also have this hat, which is available at robhasthewebsite.com.
Merch.
Shop. New RHAP ski hat.
Oh, my goodness. What the Savage family is getting each other for this holiday season.
Yeah, it looks like I'm in the Savage crew right now. If I was going to go play in like Big Brother 23, and then I would wear this, and then I would say like, hey, what's going on, fellow 20-something?
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, Rob's so young. He's wearing that baseball hat. And then someone would try to wear your baseball hat the next season, and people would be like, why do people keep wearing these things on the show?
Yeah. Hey, what's been happening on the TikTok? Gang.
I'm glad you finished off with gang. I think that really codifies your generation.
Yeah. Is this hat working or am I dead ass?
How sus do I look?
Yeah, does this definitely do not look sus now. Okay. I think the other one was better, but you can check this out. Robiswebsite.com/shop, where we have a number of winter items that we have just added. Winter is coming to you live from my apartment.
What do you guys call that hat?
So we call it a beanie. We call it a beanie. I believe you call it a toque in the Great White North, right?
It's a toque.
Okay.
It's perfect, Rob.
Yeah, the other hat, I think I'd overheat. I'd overheat.
Yeah, but we don't want you passing out from heat exhaustion, Beast Mode Cowboy style, while you're doing a podcast here.
Yeah, this will keep me nice and cool. This one. Okay. I think last worn, I believe that Rob and Amber were mocking me off in the distance. Okay. All right. So let's talk about noticeable hats. Mike, can you explain the phenomenon of noticeable hats?
I mean, it came from my noodle, as all weird things do. We were playing a game on the RHAP B&B, and I gave a clue of like, oh, these two tribes have members with noticeable hats on them. And I don't know why at the time I didn't think that the adjective noticeable should not be matched up with the noun hats, but we derailed the game completely. It was myself, Liana Boris, and Taryn Armstrong, I think, during Survivor Edge of Extinction last year. We just really went on a tangent about what a noticeable hat is. Is that different from a regular hat? And I think we have just sort of taken the term and ran with it, even off Survivor podcast proper. So yeah, when I was coming up with a list of topics to do for Outwit, Outplay, Outlist, I mean, no matter what has carried through Survivor or not over 20 years, one thing that always carries through is the sun. And to keep it out of their eyes, Survivor contestants have brought and made various hats over the years. And I figured this would be a way to also sort of talk about fashion and accessories as well, which is something we got a little bit into last time with the immunity necklaces, but not completely with the contestant choices. So I think this was a topic that is rife for discussion.
Can I ask a question to myself from 2004 and by proxy, the producers of Survivor? Why is this my hat? Why is this my hat? I had like a bucket hat in Survivor. That's not good either. Why was this a look that I was going for? I think in my mind I was like, oh, it's kind of like Indiana Jones, but it's not like Indiana Jones.
It's definitely not. I'm sorry, Rob. It's not like Indiana Jones.
So I don't know really what I'm thinking here.
I think the drawstring is really what does it for me. I know that Chantel, I don't know, because yours is way too long upon yours.
Maybe I should put why do I even need a drawstring on a hat? It's not like I need to zip it up. I guess if it's a windy day, it won't blow away, but there's no wind in here. Yeah. Okay.
Did you brought this hat with you? You didn't get to choose from some wardrobe accessory?
No, they would say okay, you need bring a hat. I said, okay, bring a hat, and remember, it's going to probably rain, so you want to, a hat to keep your, that be multi-dimensional.
Did you bring choices, or was this the only one that you brought?
No, this is the only hat I brought. I'm not sure if I had to take a picture and send it to them or what. They signed off on your wardrobe. I mean, did every single person have a hat? I don't necessarily know in Survivor All-Stars. We didn't have much else. I brought a bunch of stuff.
I mean, that's true. I mean, the wardrobe is always a picky thing, right? In terms of what certain contestants might wear, maybe based on their archetype. I wonder if that also determines the headgear as well. Of maybe it's a trade-off where Boston Rob was allowed a baseball cap, but then he also had to be in that tank top in the middle of the potential downpours.
In Survivor All-Stars, the way we brought a bunch of clothes and then they went through and told us, okay, here's your outfit. And that they would give you basically we had one outfit and then also a bathing suit, which is what we had. And no, it really stunk for some people because I actually brought very heavy pants, which were ski pants. And I they kept me very warm at night, but I don't even think Boston Rob had a pair of pants. I think he just had shorts. There's shorts and a bathing suit and a tank top. They were like, Sister Nino, give him as many layers as possible. let's not accidentally have him show any skin on this show.
Yeah, you're gonna be looking like the brother from A Christmas Story by day 36, just you walking around with everyone else's clothes.
Yeah, I had a long sleeve shirt also. My clothes were a long sleeve shirt and ski pants.
Yeah, compare that to Rupert and with his cargo pants and tie dye tank top.
Mm-hmm. Okay, All right. So we're going to talk about the noticeable hats. Okay. And Mike, any other background on how you came up with the list of noticeable hats?
So as per usual with this series, you know, I went back into my old weird noodle, but I also paged the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast for some suggestions. That being said, there are inevitably going to be things that are left off the chopping block. I only picked 20 caps for this podcast. I am just reserving the right for any inquisitions as to, like, why did you include this? Why did you not include this? I'm going to give the blanket response of save it for the sequel.
Yeah.
Because there are many, many hats in Survivor history.
When you say the blanket response, is that best Survivor blankets?
I mean, that's tough because I feel like blankets are few and far between, right?
Okay.
But I will also say that I set up a hard and fast rule for myself that I only did one contestant featured per podcast on this. So contestants that might have multiple noticeable hats, they'll only show up once.
Okay, here. Got it. Chantel, do you have any specific criteria you are going to be judging the hats by?
I tend to like a good fashion hat, or what they look fashion. Cute in the hat.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think of hat for function. I think of them for looking cute.
Yeah.
I think is aesthetically.
Yeah, Mike, we're not going to be judging the utility of any of these hats, right?
I don't know. We might. I mean, if a hat is mainly meant to get there to block out the natural elements and it doesn't do that, you might have to cast some judgment to it. But to Chantel's point, how much does that get balanced out by the uniqueness and the noticeability of the hat as well? Like, when does fashion outweigh function? That's I think going to be the core of our discussion. And for those of you that haven't tuned into one of these before, what's going to happen is we're going to go through the list of 20 that I came up with one at a time, not arranged in any particular order, but we are going to take it over to a tier list that we have created. And essentially how we're going to come up with this list is we are going to slot them into the tier list so that by the end, we have a de facto ranking of these 20 noticeable hats.
Okay. All right. Before we get going with our list of hats, let me take a moment to thank our sponsor because they've got a very noticeable hat because I want to take a moment and thank our friends over at Mrs. Fields. Check this out. Is this adorable or what, this snowman? Check out this noticeable hat.
Ooh.
And look what's inside of this snowman stack that I have here. It is, you'll see the cookies that my children have left uneaten that they haven't cleaned me out yet here in this Mrs. Fields snowman here, the cookie snowman, that it is a great holiday gift. And check out this noticeable hat. Is this adorable or what? Mike, this should be on number one on the list.
I mean, right now, yeah, I think it's actually very preparatory for the holiday season as well. It's very festive and it houses cookies. What's not to love here?
Yes, of course. This holiday season is going to be different than many others. We can't always be together with the people that we would be exchanging gifts with. But Mrs. Fields comes in and is ready to save the day. And they've got a great offer code at MrsFields.com, promo code RHAP. Look, when you think of Mrs. Fields, of course, a natural tie-in to Survivor. Of course, the Mrs. Fields, one of the greatest survivors of all time, of course. You want to check out everything they have going on at MrsFields.com as you start shopping for everybody on your list, because you don't know what everybody wants, but I'll tell you what, they want cookies.
Yeah, Angie Layton can say that firsthand.
No lies detected. No one has ever frowned at a cookie from Mrs. Fields, much less a whole box or a snowman. Look at this thing. It's three boxes, each filled with delicious treats from Mrs. Fields. You could choose from Mrs. Fields' huge selection of holiday gift baskets, cookie tins, and spread the season's greetings to those we love the most. You know, the edible kind, ooey gooey cookies that melt in your mouth, brownies, delicious handcrafted confections. Our listeners get 20% off site wide with promo code RHAP at Mrs. Fields. Click or tap at the microphone at the top of the page. Enter promo code RHAP to get 20% off your order. That's MrsFields.com, promo code RHAP. Maybe should I wear the cookie snowman hat?
More like it's a yarmulke cute. If you weren't.
Okay. I feel like it's good for pet photos, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Or like newborns.
Yeah. Yes. No, Mike, I think that Asher could pull this off also.
And I don't know. His head got pretty damn big in the past year and a half. So I don't think even he could pull it off.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about our list. Mike, where are we starting on the first noticeable hat?
Let's start with, I think when you hear the call for what are some famous Survivor hats, Rob, you spoke about fires beforehand. We got to start by talking about one that got thrown into a fire. We're talking Russell Hanse's fedoras. Now, I guess for this sake, I use the Heroes versus Villains fedora. I don't know if for our experiment, we're going to talk about that specific one or Russell's general fedoras in general, since they don't deviate much in terms of color. But that is where we're going to begin here.
All right. Russell's fedora is as seen in Survivor Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah, I mean, seen technically, I think, in at least Heroes vs. Villains and Redemption Island. I can't remember if he had one in... I think he may have had one in Samoa as well. And obviously, he also had one in Australian Survivor when, spoiler alert, he did not make it to the reunion. And so a hat served as his place as his envoy in the Australian reunion.
Okay. All right. Chantel, Russell Hanse's fedora.
I think it's a strong hat. And what I like about this hat for him is that it became his brand. You know, you're saying that his hat replaced him in the finale. I kind of think this fedora is synonymous with Russell Hanse. And so I think that it becoming part of you, I think is a good quality for this hat to have. I don't particularly love a fedora, but I do think that it works for him.
Chantel, what are you talking about? I look fedorable.
Oh, I was looking up hat puns. I didn't find any, but I'm happy that you found one.
Oh, yeah. Rob's just brimming with them.
Oh, dear. I wish I could get ahead. But all I can say is that it looks pretty good on him. I can't really picture him with another style of hat. Yeah. And I think of fedoras, I think of Russell Hanse. So I think it's a good hat.
Yeah, I think the fedora really helps put together the whole look for Russell Hanse. I think that he has a few different issues that I think are helped by the fedora, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, listen, all we know is if that hat had not been burned and he went to the Heroes versus Villains Final Tribal Council, maybe he would have gotten a jury vote. Maybe he would have had like that, you know, that not that performance anxiety. And now he would have really come clean about everything and they would have given him the votes in the end. All because Sandra burned his hat and he wanted him to go bald to the Final Tribal Council.
So on top of that, yeah, you have it's part of Russell's signature look. And then also that it has an iconic moment of it being burnt in the fire by Sandra.
Yeah, I mean, I think this really does tick all the boxes of like when you think of Russell, you typically think of this hat, love it or hate it. It's part of an iconic Survivor moment. It's definitely noticeable. And, you know, it does make him look good. You know, I do think the darker color does bring out the blues in those eyes so that you just get lost in them as he's talking about losing his dog in Hurricane Katrina. Mm-hmm. And so maybe there is something as well. I mean, maybe it's also led to this factor where like people who've worn fedoras after Russell have now been inherently more untrustworthy. I actually wonder if anyone, the only person I think that wore a fedora after Russell was maybe Leaf. Leaf, I'm thinking of in One World.
That's it, really?
I'm trying to think
well,
of like.
Penner famously.
Well, yeah, but we're going to get to that later on. But he also originated it before Russell, so I almost don't count that.
Okay, so it's time's a flat circle with Penner's fedoras. But yeah, Russell to the point where that when you go back and watch like the beginning of Survivor Samoa, Chantel, when he doesn't have the fedora on, it's like, who is this person?
Yeah, like I feel as though the hat, it just became his identity. He seems a lot more strong, like a lot more quote unquote masculine or manly. You know what I mean? Like there's something that he...
You better believe it.
Then when he's not wearing the hat, he seems a little bit more just like an average Joe. But I think he kind of has more presence with this hat. I think it adds to his character.
I do not want to stereotype all fedora wearers. I do feel like outside of the Survivor Island, they're typically attributed to maybe more of the incel type. Those of like the,
whoa, Mike.
More of like the greetings ladies, may like let me partake in a beverage with you type of person. And I think Russell was able to bring a certain amount of swagger to it. Granted, I think he had his own troubles with
fedora, you know, is bad
with
saying.
The people of the opposite sex on the island.
I didn't know this.
Well, I think I don't know, like imagine you are you know, things are okay outside and you're at a bar and someone walks in with a fedora, do not tell me you don't have at least an ounce of judgment against them.
I don't that I know. I know people that wear fedoras. But maybe I don't. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
the Rolodex of all the people I've ever seen in fedoras. And you might be onto something, Mike. I never really pegged them as.
I mean, I'm thinking of older people that I've seen wear fedoras that I'm not. I don't really have a context of like 20-year-olds in fedoras.
WB puts up a great thing at the point. Fedora is the leather duster of the hat world, where it's just like you have to be really particular to pull that off.
Okay. All right. So should we look at putting the fedora on the list?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a great bar to set. I mean, it's going to be a high bar to set. So we're going to go with the continual ratings that we put in here in terms of our tiers. Worth Playing For is the top tier, the best of the best. My Life is Fine is like the pretty good to average. Ain't No Hershey Bar is below average, but it is not bad as Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye.
Okay. All right. So, Chantel, where are we going to start with Russell Hance's fedora?
I think up at the top, actually. I think it's worth playing for. I think with the fact that it's so iconic and he looks good in this hat, I think that it's worth playing for.
Okay.
Yeah. I think this is a great place to start because I think this is, again, a top contender. As I mentioned before, I think it hits all the points of criteria. I think this is one of the like most known Survivor hats as well. So I don't see why it can't be top tier here.
Okay. All right. There you go. Russell Hance on the board with a bullet.
Let's see if he'll be number one for once by the end of it.
All time. Okay. All right. Mike, what's number two?
Well, I think let's follow up with the person who threw this fedora in the fire, because much like Russell brought his own hat to Heroes versus Villains, so did Sandra Diaz-Twine. Now, it was not the tiara that she rocks at the reunion, but Sandra, you know, sometime later, she's going to show her own camouflage skills with Vince showing off how to sneak into the camp via some palm fronds, but back in the day, she was wearing her own camo hat to Survivor Heroes versus Villains.
Okay, interesting. Let's talk about the Sandra camouflage. Chantel, what would you describe this hat as?
I think it's a really cute hat.
Army hat? Like, what's the style of hat?
Style? I would say it's a military cap.
Military cap. It's not a baseball cap. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there like a national term? I don't think there's an actual term.
No, I'm saying if there is one, I don't know it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think army hat is usually the vernacular that you use for it, especially because I believe this is indeed from the armed forces, considering her family.
Okay. Now, she does not have this hat in Pearl Islands, correct?
She does not. So, I mean, this was sort of like a new Sandra look. All of other Sandra seasons, she had the long hair and no hat. And here,
what about Game Changers? Game Changers, does she have this hat?
I don't think she has this hat during Game Changers. I can't remember her having a hat.
I wouldn't be
surprised if she stole someone else's hat and blamed JT.
Yeah. So even on the Island of the Idols.
Yeah.
And
she was standing next to someone who has his own hat. Like, they could have very easily paired the hats off. But no, I visited that Island of the Idols. Ain't no hats around except for that little bee hat.
Yeah. And her bust, which she is commissioned to be in the Survivor Hall of Fame, Chantel, is not wearing this hat.
Do you know what, though? Like, I remember at this time, I really put that hat with Sandra, but then I forgot about it. And so I guess maybe she decided that she didn't want to be associated with the hat anymore, or maybe that there was something within the military that they didn't want her to necessarily wear the hat. Like, I'm not sure why she stopped wearing it further, but I forgot that this was a staple of hers in her first season. So now,
the interesting thing is that I do believe, though, in, you know, Survivor Heroes versus Villains, I think some of the big controversy as to Sandra's second win is that, you know, her game was maybe not as out in front as Parvati or Russell's. Could that be because of the hat? Could
camouflage just
incidentally made her blend into the background, so we didn't see a lot of her big moves?
Metaphorically, it works, but at the risk of offending the queen, this hat is not iconic. If you told me, like, a 100 people survey, top 9 answers on the board, name something associated with Sandra Diaz-Twine. Army hat is not on the board.
You'll get like 2 votes out of the 100, maybe.
It might be number 9.
Yeah, I mean, more even number 10. Yeah,
Snowy the Hat.
I mean, that's the,
no,
that's the thing.
Sorry.
She's been on, you know, four, technically five seasons, and she's worn this only 20% of her time. Now, granted, it might have been her most impressive season, but I think that it was so long ago, coupled with the lack of repetition, that I do agree definitely hurts this hat.
Now, that being said, it's not a bad hat. It's not ugly. I don't have a negative association with this hat, but it's just not an iconic Survivor hat. I'm sorry.
No, I think what ended up happening is that she might have, I feel like they build their wardrobe around whatever image you're trying to present in that particular season. And I think that she kind of changed a little bit from season to season. And so this is who she was when she wore this hat, and she's not that same person anymore. So maybe she didn't even think to bring it because it's not something that represents her anymore.
It's a good point, because, you know, I think Sandra was one who said, I'm not a villain, I should be a hero. Do you think she was disappointed that they made her wear the army hat for this, and maybe she boycotted the hats after this season?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. That all interesting questions to ask Sandra, but for the sake of our purposes here today, that I don't think this hat is going to show up that high on our list.
I would agree. I think, you know, it only made sense to follow up concerning that. I do feel like, spoiler alert, Heroes versus Villains is chock full of hats. And I figured this one is very different in that we really haven't seen...
Very hatty season.
Yeah, very hatty and chatty. We have not seen a camouflage hat. It's her and then Elaine, I think, are the two that have really rocked those. But, you know, I think that we got to give it to the queen for at least bringing that pattern into Survivor.
Okay, so I put it here in Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye. I don't think that this should be reserved for throw these hats in the fire.
Yeah, trash hats.
It's trash hats. To me, Ain't No Hershey Bar is like nothing wrong with it, just not memorable.
Yeah, that's where I would be putting that hat, because I like the hat, as I was saying. She looks good
fine
in
hat.
It.
Yeah.
It's not offensive in any sort of way, but it didn't become part of her brand. And so the memorability of it isn't that much. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I would not be surprised if it ends up being on the lower end of Ain't No Hershey Bar, where it just sort of like sort of mellows out in all areas.
Yes.
It doesn't really peak anywhere.
Thank you to Weedbrain, who says it's called a patrol cap.
There we go.
Okay.
Patrol cap.
All right. Mike, give us another hat.
All right, well, let's go wide-brimmed here, and let's go to another Survivor icon. We are going to Ozzie Luth in his own second season, Survivor Micronesia, Fans versus Favorites. Ozzie has a big old sun hat.
Yes, okay. All right, let's talk about Ozzie. Ozzie's sun hat. This is an interesting call here for Ozzie. And this is in Micronesia, or this is in multiple seasons?
I believe this is in Micronesia only, is what I primarily remember it from. People can contest if he showed up elsewhere. But I think looking at Ozzie's length of hair, you can tell what season this particular picture is from.
Yes. Chantel, Ozzie has so many fans also.
Only so many fans.
So many. And a lot of new fans also. And here he is. What do you make of this hat?
I definitely was an Aussie fan, but I always thought he looked a little bit dorky in this hat. I didn't think it made him look as cool as I was like, oh, I love Aussie, he's so cool. But
no bucket
I did
hat.
His ego didn't get in the way of him wearing such a dorky hat. So that was a plus. But I'm not in love with this hat for Ozzie.
I mean, to Chantel's point, this is a hat that does net him Amanda Kimmel for some time.
Okay. That's something. Is there sort of like a floral decor on the top of this hat?
So I'm pretty sure they stuck flowers through the brim of the hat. So I don't think this was a design coming in. I think they probably got bored, found a bunch of flowers, and just like stuck it through the holes in the hat to make it pop a little bit.
Okay. And it doesn't deter Ozzie from wearing it. What was it say? Is this wicker?
Yeah, I would say it's wicker.
A straw. Maybe straw.
He's a wicker man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but I agree with Chantel that I think that, you know, I think if you put Cochrane in this hat, it very much magnifies his goobiness. But Ozzie is sort of an anti-goober in that perspective, especially on Survivor. So I think that like him wearing it really does not like deter from, you know, the sense he tries to bring, especially in Micronesia, right? When he was trying to really put himself forward as the big dog on campus to his detriment.
Now, Mike, on the immunity necklace episode of Outwit Play Out List, we discussed, your idea of memorable versus other people's idea of memorable. In your mind, is this a memorable hat for you?
So I definitely have a couple of like pictures in my mind's eye of Ozzy wearing this hat, because much like All Stars, I believe that was also a very rainy season. So I think there were a lot of hats around there as well. But I remember sticking out because, sort of like Sandra's thing, like this is a hat we never saw on Ozzy again, and it's so large. That's the other thing, is a lot of these hats are going to be like fairly contained in proximity to the head. So when you see a big ass sun hat, especially with Ozzy wearing something that like you might catch your grandmother wearing while she's, tending to the azaleas, that really sticks out of my mind.
Okay, so it's a good gardening hat, is what you're saying.
I think so. I think you can shade a lot of the sun as you're working all the live long day.
Okay. All right. Chantel, from a stylistic perspective, what do you make of this hat?
I would say low. I remember I'd recently watched Micronesia and I saw him come out in this hat. And I was like, I had a crush on him still. And he was wearing this hat. And so I know he has a lot of vibrato. So that's probably what I liked about Ozzy. But if I'm looking just fashion wise, I'd say it's low on the fashion scale.
Okay. All right. Yeah. To me, not super memorable, not super stylish. I would not associate this hat with Ozzy in my mind's eye. If you were telling me about, can you picture the hat that Ozzy wore in Micronesia? I don't think I could place it. So let's see where it should go on the board.
Yeah. So I guess, so here's the leading question I'll ask. Is this, in your opinion, better than Sandra's hat? Because I don't think we're putting it in the trash tier. The question is, I want to start right now as we sort of position it, is it better than Sandra's?
For me, it is not. At least I can remember. If you told me before we started, what hat does Sandra wear in Heroes versus Villains? I'd say, oh, okay, that's easy. She wears the camo hat. What hat does Ozzy wear in Micronesia? Like, I couldn't place it.
Yeah, with that argument, I would agree with you, because I didn't realize that he wore a hat until I saw him in the rewatch. And I was like, oh, I was actually surprised by it and taken aback by it. So it's not synonymous with what I feel his brand is. And I think he could find a better hat for himself. So, yes,
certainly.
I think
it's better. Chantel, is it so bad that it belongs maybe in the bottom tier? Is it ratchet?
No, I don't think it's ratchet. I do think it has its function. It has like a nice wide brim blocking the sun. I think that the function of it is useful. And so, it's still worthy of being on a head.
Okay. Mike, your feelings on Ozzy's hat.
It's tough because I would pop it above. I don't know, actually, because I would say his hat is fairly unique, but so is Sandra's. As we just mentioned, that camo has been a very rarely used pattern. And we've seen
Ozzy is often wearing camo.
Yeah, exactly. He went from camo hat to camo shirt. And we've only seen a couple of sun hats on the show as well. I do love the incongruity of, like, again, Mr. Alpha Male wearing this big sun hat. But at the same time, I think the memorability does knock it down a bunch that I could see it fit right below Sandra's here. Unfortunately, Ozzy, your hat game has gone up in smoke.
Yeah. I don't think that Ozzy is like the typical traditional alpha male survivor, that he's more of sort of like a loner. And I feel like that he
wants. You can remove the first letter from that word, Rob, and replace it with something else.
No, no, no. Mike, Michael. I feel like that he's often like, he doesn't want to be bossed around, Ozzy, but also that he's like not typically like the like rah-rah like leader of the group. Often like he tries it on in Sabai at times, and maybe post swap in Micronesia. But I think that he is a guy who is marches to the beat of his own drummer, and I think is not completely out of place wearing a silly hat.
Yeah, marches to the beat of his own haberdasher.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, one of the highlights of 2020 was my long interview with Ozzy as well.
Yeah, that was a really like fantastic discovery of like what Ozzy has been up to, his thoughts about everything, his book club. I want to know if that got off the ground eventually.
It did not. I think he worked on a different project.
As you know, 2020 had us all sort of derailing our project into doing other things, so I cannot judge him too much.
Yeah, but no, I really enjoyed the chat I had with Ozzy earlier this year, but I don't think he's getting past Sandra on Ain't No Hershey Bar.
All right. Well, let's move on here. And we go. Rob, you rocked one of these beforehand. We're talking about one of the most noticeable modern Survivor hats. We're going all the way to Survivor Edge of Extinction. Victoria Beaumont with the beanie.
Okay, Victoria's beanie as a all-time noticeable hat. Okay, Chantel, can you tell me, what about as far as functionality, is the beanie a good hat for Survivor?
It looks like it might be wool.
Better known for being a Big Brother accessory.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Like Roman Gnome has many accessories.
Accessory. Yeah. I mean, I have heard that it gets cold sometimes at night, so maybe that will be helpful for
that
her
is true.
While sleeping. But I feel like if I was outside in that hot sun all day long with fair skin, that it would I would just get hot. Like I feel like it's just hot. So I'd say no. I don't think its functionality is being used effectively here.
Yeah, okay. So when I was taking notes on the season for the B&B, the other Survivor podcast that I do, literally the very first thing I wrote for Survivor Edge of Extinction is Victoria wearing a beanie? And that's why it stuck out to me so much, because to Chantel's point, this is far from the climate for this type of thing. And it might work, as you said, at night. We rarely see what happens at night, so I think that's not something that viewers are privy to. So when you see someone wearing something that, like, someone in Massachusetts might rock while they're shoveling the driveway, you feel like someone's took the wrong plane. You know, maybe they were traveling to, like, Fiji, Michigan instead of Fiji proper.
Yeah. I think that it was a good hat for her. I think it did really give her sort of like a look on the show. I think that it's also from a functionality standpoint, it could double as a pillow, keep you warm at night. She never had to go to the edge, but it would have come in handy there for sure.
Yeah, that's very true. What, no matter what position she had in the fire, if rain pushed her out for whatever reason, she had a nice pillow and blanket.
Yeah, I don't know how much of a blanket it would be.
I don't know. I think if you really stretch it out a certain amount, like it's not going to become much of a hat as much as a sleeping bag at that point.
Or like arm muffs, you know, put your hands in there.
Yeah. Like hand warmer.
Sure.
You could use it as your own sort of like face mask as well. I know people sleep with buffs over their head. You could do that with your beanie too.
I would say as far as something missing here, we've talked about it from a fashion standpoint, from a functionality standpoint. Chantel, nothing really iconic in terms of on-screen moments for Victoria's beanie.
Well, I do actually like it. Like I see the look that she was going for, but I just don't know if, you know, the fact that you're going to be out in the sun, if it's the perfect type of hat for her to be wearing. But I think that it didn't become synonymous with her look and her kind of vibe out there. And so in that sense, memorable, I do think it is a memorable look for her. And I think she was probably going for, you know, looking good on camera as opposed to like being shaded from the sun.
But like Rick Devins didn't hide a fake idol clue in it at any point.
Although
it'd
been so
like
easy.
It was there, but it was never part of the plot.
Exactly.
Right, but I would say hats rarely are. Some of them are, and that's what makes them top tier. But I think this is a unique thing. I agree with Chantel, and I think if you go back to your Family Feud example, Rob, and maybe this is the difference between Sandra's edit and Victoria's edit, I think if you ask, name 10 things about Victoria from Survivor Edge of Extinction, I do think her hat's going to be fairly far up there.
Maybe number 4. Victoria's hat. Yeah.
Now, I wonder, though, if she decided to use this hat for maybe hiding idols and stuff like that, like making it have a dual purpose, and that's why she chose that type of hat. I wonder.
Could we round out the rest of the board also, then let's get the other answers
for what, for Victoria, the things we know about Victoria?
Number one answer,
glasses.
Glasses, no, I don't think they're that.
Got rid of Aubrey.
Okay.
I think depending on who you ask, I think number one answer might be like got robbed in Survivor.
Oh, robbed goddess. Yeah, no, yeah. Two people said that. Yeah. Let's see. Number two, sharp wit. Yes. Number three, voted for Gavin or voted for Chris Underwood.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. All right. That being said, yeah, Mike, put a pin on us not doing noticeable socks.
No,
also.
let's not go anywhere south of the border for many, many reasons.
Okay. So, all right. Should we look at the board?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go to the board here, because I do think that this might be controversial. I don't know in many other power rankings, Victoria would rank above Sandra and Ozzy, but I think she's in At Least My Life Is Fine.
Okay. All right. So you want to jump her all the way up to the second tier. Chantel, any thoughts on that?
I thought it was going to be an 8 No Hershey Bar, but thinking about it, I do feel that because it becomes something that I think about with her, I do feel that that might be a good spot for her to be in. I think of her. And so, yeah.
And I think the one thing that isn't pushing it up is, like you said, Rob, there are no memorable moments specifically involving her hat. But I think that's the one thing that's, because I think otherwise, like, fashionable, unique, associated with her character, I think it ticks all those boxes.
What do you think about this as a metric? Okay, this hat is on eBay tomorrow. Chantel, how much is it?
Oh.
Her hat or
her hat. This? That hat.
A general hat.
Yeah.
Her hat would probably...
She goes on Twitter. Hey, guys, my hat's on eBay.
That seems like a $100 hat.
$100 hat. Okay. And again, I think Russell's hat is more.
Mm-hmm. Russell's hat might be a little tough.
If it wasn't burned in the fire. Yeah. What about Sandra's army hat, though? Is that going for a higher retail value on eBay?
I don't know.
Seems like $22 for me. I don't know.
Signed shorts.
But then to that point, I think popularity of Ozzy, I think, would put him the highest on eBay.
Ozzy's straw hat is $10 on eBay.
No, I think you put Ozzy and anything and people are like $50 sold.
Really?
I think people want to buy Ozzy stuff.
It is.
They want his hats?
I could see people bidding high for that hat, though, knowing that it's Ozzy's hat that he wore on that season. I could see them.
Yeah, the only description you need is Ozzy's head was in this, and they're like, oh, great, let me buy it.
I don't think so. I may not know the hat market, the secondhand hat market. I don't think Ozzy's straw hat is particularly valuable.
I'd buy it.
Yeah, you'd buy it. Chantel, how much would you pay for Ozzy's straw hat?
I mean,
you might still have it. You might be listening.
I'd probably use Bid Sniper, so I would probably put my Bid Snipe at like $65.
Chantel, how much Survivor memorabilia do you own? And is that $65 Canadian?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yes. Okay. All right, so like $45.
$49.
Yeah. Do you own a lot of Survivor memorabilia?
No, I actually own none, to be honest. But I remember, like, back in the day, I used to love eBay, and I used to always get bid snipers, and I'd like have my snipe bid. So I know how to use it, but I think I would have it at $65 Canadian.
Yeah. I think, Rob, inevitably, if this well runs dry, we should just do our own online bids for Survivor memorabilia, starting with Ozzy's sun hat if he still has it.
Yeah.
But okay. Part two.
All right. Let's see. Yeah, if anybody can get word to Ozzy, tell him that straw hat, he's sitting on a gold mine. Okay.
Well, I could do more with people. His stands are probably pretty wanting his memorabilia.
Yeah. By the way, if Survivor memorabilia is going for that sweet cheddar, I've got a hat for you.
16 years in the making.
I think the bucket hat might be, maybe the bucket hat didn't burn in the fire. It might be in my mom's garage.
Oh, okay.
Because I think I'm pretty sure that the hat, then after the fire, the hat was my backpack put everything in my, it was like my satchel of I could put my magic eight ball in my, socks in my hat.
Well, what would your starting bid be for that hat?
I own it already. What am I asking for? $20. Yeah.
Oh, you're lowballing it. This is a hat worn on the back of Rob Sessler, one of the Survivor greats. That's going for a lot of money. Yeah.
Maybe what would be worth more? What if I package the two hats together?
Ooh.
I like that.
Okay. We'll see. I'll get Ozzy to sign them.
for no reason. Mm-hmm. Your two hats from Rob Sessler signed by Ozzy.
Sure. All right, we are going to take a quick break from talking about the noticeable hats in Survivor history to talk with the First Lady of Podcasting, who always comments about how great I look in a hat. Nicole Cesternino is here. Nicole, I know that you are very excited to talk about today's sponsor because it is something that is your favorite thing, and it's not just because they're a sponsor that you love Fight Camp.
And first, let me just say, do not ever wear a hat.
Okay, fine.
Do not wear a hat.
Fine. I took it off to do this.
Okay. I am so excited to do this commercial, and I'm going to do my best not to curse because I curse when I get excited. So
yes. Really. All right. Tell us about Fight Camp. What is Fight Camp?
Well, let me tell you. Fight Camp, it combines...
I know. For the listeners.
Fight Camp combines a full body workout with cardio, strength training, and conditioning, all with the amazing feeling of punching and kicking a bag as hard as you can.
You love punching and kicking.
My two favorite things to do.
Yes. Okay. Well, how does Fight Camp work?
Well,
you don't have to go anywhere, right?
No. Basically, Fight Camp brings the boxing and kickboxing gym to you with fight hardened trainers that combine cardio and conditioning in a full body workout.
Yes. This is what you love.
I love Fight Camp. I have been doing Fight Camp since March.
Yes.
And I'm in love with it.
Yes. Why?
Why? Well, I've been boxing for some time now. It's one of my favorite things to do. And when COVID hit, the boxing gym closed. I had nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I heard of Fight Camp and it completely changed my life.
Yes.
It completely changed my life. It is a home boxing gym that you can kick the crap out of a bag and not people in your family.
Yes, okay. That we like that.
Yes, this is a win-win. It's made for absolute beginners to experienced boxers who want to box from home. And the trainers are amazing. Their trainers are top-notch.
Mm-hmm.
They are, I think most of them are professional boxers.
Yes.
They teach you technique. They teach you how to condition. They teach you everything.
Yeah, why is boxing such a good workout?
Because it hits every muscle in your entire body.
Mm-hmm.
And you get less crazy. Mm-hmm. It takes the crazy out.
Yes, for some people.
We all have a little bit of crazy.
Yes.
And Fight Camp gets the crazy
out.
It's
a good stress release.
Yes. Here's the thing. Fight Camp has these sensors. And I went back when I was training with Parvati years ago, I wanted to actually train for a fight. But Rob, he shut that down.
Yeah.
Shut it down. And
hard.
So I wanted to do like the boxing Olympics and like not actually fight, but like get, I don't know, rated or something on my mm-hmm. technique and
you
stuff.
You wanted to know your stats.
I wanted to know how good I was. And so Fight Camp will tell you basically how good you are. It has sensors that are attached to your wraps, and it monitors your punches, how fast you're punching, and it calculates an output, and you can actually like compete with people on
excited.
The leaderboard.
This
is the
that.
Best thing ever.
Yes.
Fight Camp literally has next level motivation. Fight Camp offers flexible financing for as low as 0% APR and $0 down. There's no better deal than that. And right now, as a limited time holiday offer, get free shipping and a gifted value up to $109 with every Fight Camp purchase. Just go to fightcamp.com/Rob. That's right. Get free shipping and a gifted value up to $109 with your purchase. Bring an authentic boxing and kickboxing gym into your home with Fight Camp. To get your free gift, just go to fightcamp.com/Rob and join fightcamp.com/Rob.
Nicole, thank you so much. Let me put my hat back on.
Take that hat off. It looks so stupid.
No, got to get back to the hats.
You got to see this.
Got to get back to the hats. Okay, Nicole, thank you. All right. Let's go back to the hat well.
Let's go back to the hat
the
well
hat rack.
And actually we're
the rack. Yeah.
Well, the rack, we're going to go to an interesting place here on the rack because we are going to one of our first improvised hats, and we are going to one of my favorite Modern Survivor contestants, Sydney Gillen from Survivor Co Wrong. Sydney fashioned the container of the rice, I believe it was, and made it into a hat, complete
yes.
with drawstring.
Okay. All right. Now we're talking here where we have a improvised hat from Cindy.
We're in the middle of Koran. Like, listen, we don't need no more heat, baby.
It was hot.
Yeah. I think she you could see firsthand. She was proactively beating the heat by taking this giant, like garbage can lid of a lid and putting it on top of her head.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So. This is very interesting. And we, Chantel, what do you make of this?
I love this hat. I like people that are creative and, like, you know, look at what's going on around them and figure out how to do something that I think still looks cool. And, like, it's doing its function by protecting herself from the sun. And I think she looks cute in it. So yeah. I think it makes me smile. It makes me happy. I like this hat. And I'm sure that people around her were like, oh, that's a good idea. I like, that's good. I like that. So
yeah.
I'm thumbs up for this hat for sure.
Yeah, Sydney was really one of the forgotten greats from the 30s that she did Survivor Korong. She got to fourth place. And then just, I think that it was, you know, on her part, I think that she sort of like moved on. She got into, I think, like competitive bodybuilding, after the show was over. And then and the show did a bad job of never bringing her back because there was plenty of opportunity. Maybe they tried to get her back and she didn't want to come back. But I think that she certainly should have been an all-star by this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, though. I mean, you talk about plenty of opportunity. We had 34, which already had four people from Korong on it. You had 38, which already had Aubrey on it. And then 40, which was going to have the winner of the season on anyway. So I think there were fewer opportunities than you think. But I do agree that I think she is still one of those, especially characters from the 30s, that I would want to see back in a heartbeat. She was strategic. She was a huge personality. She had a whole underdog story starting from that terrible Braun tribe starting off. Like, she was, in my opinion, one of the stars of Survivor Korong, hat included.
Okay. Now, Mike, how often did Sydney wear this hat?
I do feel like it's sort of like in the Victoria category of, like, they'll never pay notice to it, but it feels like I've seen at least a few shots that have included her walking along just in B-roll wearing the hat, which almost makes it even funnier of, like, nobody pays it mind whatsoever. This is just now the norm, is that Sydney is wearing a hubcap on top of her head.
Yeah. Okay. Chantel, any other thoughts on this hat?
Well, one thing I like about it too, like I was watching Australian Survivor All-Stars and there was doing a lot of fashion shows, I believe, on that one. And I think that this would be something if they wanted to do an activity with the tribe, like a little fashion show. And so I think that, you know, it provides some entertainment as well as functionality and fashion. So yeah, loving it.
Okay, let's see if we could try to place the Sydney top of the rice. I mean, did the rice get wet then?
I mean, the rice also, the fire got put out. Like, so much was going on with that rice anyway that maybe Sydney's like, yeah, you know what? I want a piece of this action. Let me use it for my own betterment.
Okay. This is not a trash hat. It is not ratchet, right?
It's a trash lid hat, but not a trash hat.
Okay. All right. So you would think this hat is memorable, which I feel like gives it an advantage over Ozzy and Sandra.
Yeah, I think also the creativity behind it, to Chantel's point, I think really boosted up as well. Because spoiler alert, we're not going to get to many people who fashion their own hats via materials they found around the island. Like, Sydney is a fantastic freegan in this regard. She had something given to her and she made it into fashion.
Okay, do we bring her up to the second tier? Is she on the tier with Victoria?
What do you think, Chantel?
I think so, because it actually has functionality. Like, it's protecting, like, you can see that she's shaded under there. I think that is probably the most important part. It gets hot out there, especially having darker skin. Like, you always want to be shaded. And so that is really great for her. And I think it actually might even have more. I think I might like it more than what's her name? Victoria's hat. I think she might be ahead of her, in my opinion.
Whoa. Ahead of her.
Okay. Mike, does she jump Victoria?
I don't know, because maybe it's just because of recency bias, but I feel like Victoria's beanie has been so much more of like a talking point and a memeable moment than Sydney's rice hat.
A moment?
I mean, both of them are not necessarily moments, but I feel like Victoria's beanie was more talked about in a recurring basis. Like, Sydney's hat is very much like that funny 115 article of like, hey, isn't this funny? A few background shots of Sydney just randomly wearing the hat. Sort of like the aforementioned like leaf in the box as an example. Whereas Victoria, I think maybe again, just because of the internet culture at the time, I feel like there was much more discourse about the beanie.
I don't know. I like the ingenuity.
Yeah, the ingenuity is really good. Plus, it's like also fantastic in this day and age of like you get to, it really forces people to stay away from you because the brim is just keeping them at arm's length.
That's right. Mike, give Sydney something.
All right. Listen, you don't have to tell me twice to give Sydney Gillen something. I will
give her something. Let's start the movement. Get her back on the show.
If just because of this hat, that's the starting
point. Yeah, she has to wear that hat.
Oh, no. Well, all right. Well, maybe she might say no to that.
Yeah.
Figurine made of her, like a little doll, and she had this hat on. Like, I would be buying that doll. I think it would be cute. So,
This also is a very much like Couture Fashion Week, a bit, right? Like, it seems like a giant disc fascinator does seem like something you could see in that.
Yeah. Look, she fashioned a hat out of the top of the rice. Like, that's something.
Yeah. Exactly. She made something out of nothing, quite literally.
Something out of nothing. Is it on the top tier? Probably not.
I wouldn't say so. Again, it doesn't have that memorability outside of those random lol-worthy moments that, again, the Russell hat does.
Okay. All right, let's keep going. Mike, what's next on the rack?
So this one's going to be interesting because it's sort of going to be a hat through time, as it were. Something that a lot of people noticed in Survivor 40 was the lovely Ethan Zahn had a very fashioned hat. I call it the John Hammond hat. It sort of is like this white kind of like jungle-looking hat. But I always thought it was either an intentional or not callback to his old Africa pal, Big Tom Buchanan, who wore a very similar hat. So, I mean, I don't know if you want to judge Ethan specifically or just this hat together, but I figured I'd include the callback in here as well.
Now, is it a callback in your mind, or does Ethan said that he paid homage to Big Tom and wore a similar hat?
I meant to callback in my mind, but that being said, it is a very similar looking hat.
It's a similar looking hat, but I feel like that had Ethan said, I am wearing this hat to honor Big Tom, I wonder if I texted Ethan Zahn right now and asked him that, was your hat in Survivor 40 an intentional homage to Big Tom? And he said no, would that hurt in your mind?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, oh, I don't know. It could be fun.
Let's go to the phone.
Let's do it. We're already one for one in this, right? This is how we found out how Sophie Clark got onto Survivor.
Yes.
Did she respond? I don't know if I heard that part.
Yeah, so
she did respond, and she
was indeed got onto the show through the Sears casting call. So we will see if we're two for two here. If Ethan Zahn did indeed wear this hat in honor of Big Tom Buchanan, the goat farmer.
Here, Mike, hold down the fort here for a second while I work out this text.
Yeah, so Chantel, give me your thought. I mean, so obviously there was a lot of stuff going on in Survivor 40. In your opinion, Ethan's coming back was a great deal for many reasons. Was his hat, did you remember a lot about his hat in season 40?
No, I didn't. I mean, I like the hat. I think it's a nice hat. It looks expensive. It doesn't really go with his outfit. Kind of like how Russell's, it made his whole look make sense. It doesn't, for me, make Ethan's look make sense. But I like the hat. Mm-hmm. I always think of Ethan's hair and his curls. And so hiding that, I'm just kind of like, no, but you're the curl guy. So
that's an interesting point. That's sort of like his trademark, right? Is his hair is like, don't hide that light under a bushel. And that's sort of what he's doing here.
Yeah. So I think that it detracts from what is most memorable, in my opinion, about Ethan.
In your opinion, who rocks this type of hat better between these two pictures, Big Tom or Ethan? Who are the Africa big three?
I'd say Big Tom. Like I would remember him always wearing at least a hat of some sort. And so it seems like it works with his look. And if we were putting him on the map, like I think that it's synonymous with his personality and his character on the show. So I would say Big Tom rocks the hat a little bit better.
Yeah. I don't see it. I'll be surprised if Ethan says that this was in any way like, I think that he's just saying, that is just a coincidence.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it was sort of like an unintentional piece of psychology in his mind that he was thinking about Survivor and Big Tom came to mind with his big floppy hat.
Ah, all right. We have an answer.
Oh my God.
All right.
Breaking news are happening now.
Ethan's first response, and there are still dots flashing. He says, Chantel, what do you think he said?
He says, absolutely not. I saw the hat and I liked it. I decided to wear it because it was going to be sunny outside.
Yeah. Okay. Mike, are you going to stick to your guns?
Why the hell not? Let's see what happens here.
He said, LOL, no.
No! Dang it. Dang it.
He's still typing, though. He's still typing. No. There's still the little three dots flickering.
All right. So now we actually get Ethan's logic behind the hat that he wore. I don't know. I noticed these and I couldn't help but make my own difference. But that was clearly in my own mind, obviously, as the real McCoy did not make that connection.
So I'm just like, if you split these up, Big Tom's hat, certainly noticeable, somewhat iconic. Ethan's hat, I don't feel being super memorable.
Yeah, I feel like he borrowed somebody's hat and is just wearing it for the day.
Could he have borrowed it from a camera person?
Right? It doesn't seem like it's his.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is Ethan saying now?
So he said that wardrobe approved the hat, but he wasn't allowed to wear it at Tribal. Only Boston Rob and Ben had approval to wear hats to Tribal.
I didn't realize there were levels of clearance for hats.
I guess so. He got his in, because it's not part of the signature look. He got his in New Mexico at Thunderbird Hats.
Oh, okay. Good press for Thunderbird Hats. All right, so then in that opinion, that is going to knock this down suddenly, unless we want to do a bit of a, if we want to pivot a bit here and go and talk about Big Tom instead of Ethan.
Okay, what do you think,
Chantel? I had Ethan on here, but I'm fine to talk about Big Tom instead.
Well, Big Tom's hat, I would say, would probably be my favorite, what the top tier is, but kind of beside Russell in Synonymous and, how I think of Tom, I always think of him with a hat. And so, I think that, and he looks good in it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Tim, I think that he definitely wears this hat well.
He part of his signature look really helps him out, I think. So, if we're just going to say the hat is Big Tom's hat, that's something.
Yeah. And then from some people's perspectives, it might even inform future seasons and future people's choice of hats unintentionally.
Oh, wait, hold on. Ethan also wants to know, did we ask Danny Boatwright if she picked her hat to look like Big Tom's?
Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk about a Danny Boatwright hat actually coming up very soon, though not from season 40.
Okay.
So, I think this is now, is this a bird meme where it's just me holding up Big Tom's hat and saying, is this Ethan's hat?
Okay. But Big Tom does have a signature hat look. So I think we could place that.
Yeah, let's do it. So I will, full disclosure, Ethan's picture is going to be on the list, but I think we can use Big Tom as the avatar for the purpose of this.
Okay, we can audible to Big Tom's hat.
And I think I agree. I think Big Tom's hat is at least My Life is Fine, and I could be persuaded to be in Worth Playing For.
Okay. All right. So the picture is Ethan, but it's Big Tom's hat.
Just informing my theory further. Now I've confirmed my own theory. Ethan wins.
Well, it actually may want to go a little bit higher, Worth Playing For. Not as iconic as Russell Hance's hat, but if Big Tom were to come back for their season, he would have to be wearing a hat or be like, oh, well, where is his hat? I would be missing the hat. And so I think that that part of it being part of his look is important. And I think that it kind of raises, a little bit higher than some of these other survivors.
Yeah. I would say that the Big Tom's hat is more part of his signature look than Ozzy's straw hat.
That's not saying much, but I agree.
Okay. All right. Is Big Tom's hat more of a best noticeable hat than Sandra's army hat?
I would say so. He wore that across the two seasons, I do believe.
Yeah.
Russell comparison, I think, is actually really interesting because both of them were men who maybe were a bit follically challenged. So I think they were both seen more with hats on, which I think also contributes to their look.
Yeah. Hat is an ally of the bald.
Exactly.
For sure. Yes. If you get bad sunburn.
Ally of the bald. What's that term? Okay.
Final,
sorry.
Yeah. Final two partner in life. Bald people in hats.
Mm-hmm. So should this go higher?
So I think it should at least be in My Life is Fine. I guess I wonder, is it better than the beanie and the improvised rice hat?
Why?
I say it is.
You say it is. Okay.
You.
Why?
I say it is because it looks good on him. It's part of the look that we recognize him to have. It's functional. It blocks the sun from his head. It hides his baldness and avoids him from getting a burn on the top of his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it kind of checks off all the boxes.
Okay, what do you think, Mike?
I can't really think of, again, like memorable moments involving the hat. I guess when I think of stuff
the
like Big Tom does,
it, right?
When he had the feather in his ass, he was wearing the hat. So mm-hmm. I guess a lot of Big Tom stuff, I guess, has the image of the hat with it. So you know what? I might have to pop it in Worth Playing For, because I do think like Russell's hat.
Whoa.
Really, I mean, it really is like the creme de la creme. And I think if we're going by like memorable moments around the hats, that's going to be very few to come by.
Yeah. I mean, I'm lower than both of you, but I'll defer. Like, I don't even think it should be in My Life Is Fine.
Wow.
It's fine. Like, I feel like it's like one step better than Sandra's hat. I mean, there's nothing that's special about it. It's, you know, Big Tom is a rancher. He wears a hat.
No, I think you're doing a pretty good job convincing me as well. Maybe I take back my Worth Playing For.
I just don't think it's an icon. Like, Russell is in Worth Playing For because it defines his look. And also, I feel like that it gets burned in the fire. Like, there's moments that happen because of that, with that hat. Russell didn't go, spoiler alert, to the Survivor Australia finale. They just had a fedora there. It was the avatar for Russell. I feel like that the avatar for Big Tom is overalls, not the white hat.
That's a great point, that there's more parts of their outfits known than the hat. I think that does dock them some points.
So I'm I'm not going to die on this hill, but I don't think it should be in Worth Playing For at the very least.
I originally thought it should be up there, but I agree with your points here that the overall are a little bit more synonymous with the look of Big Tom. But I think it's also the whole look. And so with Sandra's hat, you know, you're just kind of bringing that comparison with her. You know, I don't think of it as her whole look. And so a whole outfit of hers. And
he's
so,
almost never seen on screen without the hat.
That's very true. Which you can't say about Sydney's hat or Victoria's beanie.
I believe he also has tribal council approval for the hat.
That might be a last minute criteria.
Yes, Ethan brought us a piece of information. So he has tribal council approval. Sydney did not have tribal council approval for the rice hat.
That would be a nightmare for cameras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Now I might put it. I might put it below Victoria, but still in My Life Is Fine.
Below Victoria now. Okay. You make the decision here.
Whoa! Well,
Yeah.
That it's pretty good. And I think that what's kind of throwing us off is that we're seeing Ethan's picture of here, okay. And we're just like, no, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. That's not right. But if we're seeing Tom and recognizing Big Tom and the hat that you recognize Big Tom with, I feel like he's in the right spot right now, especially with all the criteria that we're kind of looking at.
Okay, so you think the order for My Life Is Fine is Big Tom, Sydney, Victoria?
Right now, yes.
And we do reserve the right to mix things up as we...
The end, if we find that two categories are like stuffed to the bones, we can sort of move things up and down at the end once we get a look at how the game board looks.
Okay. All right, Mike, are you ready to go back to the rack?
Let's go back to the rack. And Ethan mentioned via text Danny Boatwright. Let's talk about an interesting piece of fashion she brought to Survivor Guatemala. We know that Danny is a huge fan of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
And boy, oh boy, does her hat indicate that.
Yes. By the way, that Ethan has texted me this exact picture. I don't know if you can make it out on my phone.
But
Danny Boatwright's hat.
Oh, he had a picture. Why does he have a picture of Danny Boatwright's hat?
He asked did you ask Danny if she picked the hat to look like Big Tom's? It's white. It's white hat. Okay, KC Chiefs. Danny Boatwright liked the Kansas City Chiefs before it was cool.
Yeah, she's the ultimate hipster in that regard.
Yes.
The Patrick hipster.
Here she is. Chantel, this hat, with all due respect to Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Tyreek Hill, Le'Veon Bell, Travis Kelce, and all of the Kansas City Chiefs, Eric Bieniemy. This hat is so ratchet. It looks like it's made of plastic.
It doesn't look great. Not going to lie, it doesn't look great. I don't really know the sports team. I don't think it looks great on her. I didn't remember it. And so
it's hideous.
Definitely could be considered ratchet. Definitely.
Yes. I should text my friend Cindy Hall and ask her what she thinks of this hat.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't sacrifice this to the gods instead of eating that chicken like they did. Like, this thing is pretty jank. Now, look, it is noticeable. It is unique, but it's fugly. It's pretty damn fugly.
What material is this made out of?
I'm assuming paper. I don't know.
Yeah, it's so ugly.
Oh my God. I mean, it certainly is, you know, that was Dani's character, right? She was a sports reporter at the time and she carried that forward. She wore the Big Tom White hat and a Chiefs jersey branded with her name in Survivor 40. But I mean, Survivor Guatemala was a season that was known for the heat. So I'm glad that she had a way to get through it. Tribal Council approved. But I don't understand, like, the red tinges of dye at the ends of it. Because I can understand dyeing the edges of the cowboy hat, but, like, right. Dye the top of it.
So I think that maybe this type of hat had a moment in 2008.
Maybe. What was that
when is Survivor Guatemala? Yeah.
No. Survivor Guatemala is like 2006.
Seven?
No, 2000. Fall of 2005 is Survivor Guatemala.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, yeah. All right. It's an old hat.
It is old hat, quite old hat, literally.
Yeah, okay. All right. This is very ugly. Is it iconic, Chantel?
It is iconic when I look at it now, but not enough for me to have remembered it. And I don't know if this is because I don't fully remember this season or her whole season. I don't know if that's it. And if I watch it again, and then it would be in the forefront of my memory, if I could be like, oh, yeah, Dani in the hat. But right now, it is iconic, but not enough for me to remember it.
Now, I will say is, you know, there are a few people whose hats will be discounted in this podcast because they are just straight up sports hats. This is a straight up sports hat, but you will remember it. It's not just, you know.
It's so bad.
Exactly. Bad.
Patrick Mahomes could not pull off this hat.
And so is this the Streisand effect, you know, is it so bad, but it draws so much attention
good?
That it should get, you know, some notice because of that.
No, it's so bad. It's bad.
Well, then are you glad that she pivoted then to Big Tom's hat in Survivor 40?
Yeah. To me, this is the easiest call we've made. This is going, forget you, go home, goodbye.
Well, just when people were like, everyone forgets about Survivor Guatemala and she comes back, now they're saying, forget your hat, even.
I mean, are there any arguments why this hat should be beyond this tier?
No, I mean, it really does, like, I mean, we talked about this during the Immunity Necklaces podcast, where the bottom tier was not necessarily reserved for necklaces that like were like boring or middle of the road. It was more so reserved for they clearly tried something and it really didn't work. And I feel like that's the case with this hat. Effort was put into it, but it was not a good effort.
Well, and like if it was a good hat when she came back, she would have been like, I have to wear that hat, man. Like everybody knows me in this hat. Like, it's just synonymous.
Yeah, she wore a Chiefs jersey, but I don't think the Chiefs hat stayed home. Yeah. So,
fire.
The hat was not a winner. Dani is. The hat was not.
Well, I can't remember if she wore that hat to the final tribal council. Maybe it was quite literally a winning hat, but not in this case.
Yeah. Okay. It is not a Rafe's choice that I would make. retire the hat. It's fugly.
Yeah. Hang it up with the jerseys.
Yeah. That's it. All right. Bad hat.
All right, well, let's move into a hat that got significantly less play than Dani's hat, but I think is fairly significant. Johnny Fairplay only showed up in one episode of Survivor Micronesia Fans versus Favorites, the season with Ozzy's sun hat. But when he came out waggling his fingers, he wore a trucker cap that read, "Will lie for food," prognosticating his future of screen printing random Survivor phrases onto wardrobe.
This is so dumb. It was a dumb idea to make this hat. It was dumb whoever signed off on it. For those listening to the podcast, it's Will Lye, the number four.
Oh yeah,
food. Like that makes it funnier in some way.
I mean, maybe to take on like a panhandler, right? Like you would write it on a cardboard sign when you're walking through the highway while people are at a stop sign.
Hmm. You know how you could tell this is a bad hat? Johnny Fairplay's not still selling this hat.
Maybe he will
now.
It
was
now.
A good hat.
Maybe we
he'd be on Twitter right now, like, "Hey, buy this new hat, then I'll call you."
Yeah, what do we feel like, Chantel, about the, you know, we speak about the reputation of the contestant. Do you feel like there should have been a more Fairplay branded messaging on the hat instead of "Will Lye for food"? Should have been more on the nose of like my grandma died and all I got was this lousy hat.
I think that would have been better, but I feel as though he might have offended too many people with that whole kind of stunt. And so he's trying to still allude to the fact that, like, you know, he's a little bit evil, but maybe without offending some people that may have actually lost their family members.
I would wear the Danny Boatwright hat first.
Well, that's really? Saying something.
I think that the stupidity of the his hat is at least a little bit more... funny.
Yeah, I mean, this hat is going for a specific aesthetic, right? Like, I could see this hat in the window of a Spencer Gifts when those still existed. Of like, yeah, I mean, trucker hats, this speaks towards that time, too. I mean, this is like the Ashton Kutcher punk thing. Maybe a few years after the fact, because I think this was 2008 when this season came out, or maybe 2007. So I think we were sort of on the downslope of that hill. But, I mean, trucker hats were huge back in the days. Look at Judah Friedlander in 30 Rock. That was his whole look.
Yes. Okay. So in defense of trucker hats, okay, trucker hats, you know, certainly were a thing. But what about this specific trucker hat?
I mean, this was not a thing. This was definitely not a thing.
Was the thing Von Dutch hats? Did you guys have
Von Dutch hats?
It was a type of trucker hat that I remember everybody at one point was wearing a Von Dutch hat. So I think that if we're going to, with that time frame, that this hat is cooler than Danny Boatwright's hat. And I would wear this hat before the other hat because it's stupid. And at least then you can be like, oh, I'm trying to be ironic or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Just imagine, because remember, the favorites were introduced by surprise to the fans one by one. Imagine you are hearing that not only is Johnny Fairplay going to be on this season, but he is wearing this screen printed abomination.
Yeah.
It is really just like,
it's not a funny joke.
It's so weird in so many ways. I'm so intrigued by the choice of messaging. Maybe this was like one of the only ones. Maybe I would not be put it past Johnny Fairplay if he brought like 10 of these hats to wardrobe and only one got cleared to go onto the island and it was this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, okay, I'll wear this hat and then I'll sell it after the show. It's sort of like, you know, so I respect the hustle, but just overall, like, I would have workshopped the joke a little bit.
Yeah,
great joke.
Could that be the reason why Johnny Fairplay left first? It wasn't any, you know, his family or Danny Bonaducci was like, oh man, that hat joke didn't really land. I guess I'm out of here.
Yeah. Oh. All right. Let's see.
Let's see. Yeah, this is a big question because, I mean, Rob, you said you'd rather wear the Danny Boatwright hat.
I would rather. The Danny Boatwright hat is worse.
But it's worse is what you're saying.
It's worse. I'm joking that I would wear it, but because it would be more comically ironic that I was wearing the bad KC Chiefs hat. This hat is just bad, but not hilariously bad.
All right, Chantel.
In my humble opinion,
what do you think, Chantel? Where are you going to put Johnny Fairplay's short-lived "Will Lye for Food" trucker hat?
I think he's on the right tier. I just don't know if it's better or worse than Danny's hat.
I would have it. I would have it. Fairplay and then Danny at the bottom.
I think that because aesthetically, it's a better shape of a hat. I'll say
nice and color.
The color is decent, but Danny's hat is just like just ratchet, as we've been calling it, or very unattractive.
Ratchet so hat.
If I were to look at, not even look at the whatever the saying is on Johnny Fairplay's hat, I would have to say that it's a better hat and more people would wear the hat. Mm-hmm. And so I would leave it in that order. That would be where
I think you would cast judgment towards people wearing both of these hats, but a very different types of judgment toward like I feel like the Tucker Max crowd would very much revel, like the Barstool Sports crowd in the Will Lie for Food Johnny Fairplay trucker hat, especially in 2008. Rob, should you co-opt the phrase and make a Will Pod for Food trucker hat to wear at RJP live events?
Probably not. I'm gonna skip. I'm gonna pass on that if that's okay.
All right, you're missing out on $1 million opportunity. That's
yeah,
all I'm
yeah. I think I'm good.
I don't know. This might be a big comeback for the hat that we unintentionally. Yeah.
I think that if we could get the Danny Boatwright hat, I think that maybe that might be like much more memorable.
Well, you have Ethan's number. Get him in contact. Get you in contact with Danny. I think we can get this thing figured out.
Yeah. Does he know anybody in New Mexico that could make the Danny Boatwright hat, but instead of KC, it says RHAP?
I think that would be fantastic, to be quite honest.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay.
This is also a backdoor pitch for merch ideas as well.
Yeah. You're good with Johnny Fairplay top of the bottom tier?
Yeah, because I think this really is like a pretty trashy hat. And I maybe purposely so, but I think, you know.
It's dumb more than it's ratchet.
Yeah, I think Danny's hat is an eyesore. Johnny Fairplay's is more of an eye roll.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'd rather eye roll than eyesore here.
Yes, okay. All right, Chantel, you're good with everything here?
I'm good with this.
Okay, all right. Mike, what's next?
Well, Johnny Fairplay is an old schooler, so let's jump all the way back to old school. We're going to season 2, and Molly Shock sent this in. And we'll talk about whether this counts as a hat, but Elizabeth Hasselbeck, then Filarski, had a rather interesting headdress that she wore on occasion during Survivor the Australian Outback.
This is her luxury item.
Was it?
I believe so. Yeah,
I wasn't sure if it was just part of her wardrobe or if she was able to make it be her luxury item.
I believe, and you could fact check me in the chat here. Of course, we are doing this one live. We've never done one of these live before, so we've been appreciating the feedback from the chat. I believe Elizabeth Filarski's immunity, her luxury item is the immunity headdress that she designed.
Interesting. So, I mean, luckily they had Colby's Texic flag. I can't imagine if they had to like string up a roof to the shelter and they had to untie all poor Elizabeth's like fabric strands and make it into a clothesline mm-hmm. or something.
Yeah. Chantel, what do you think of this?
I don't know how
I
feel.
Can you describe it also? Could you give us the explanation of what is it for the listeners of the podcast?
Like different pieces of fabric and like materials that are kind of making a veil of some sort.
Yes, it's like a veil.
So it's kind of like I see some gingham, I see some like blue and white and some, I don't know, maybe black and white on the other side. I can't really tell. It just looks like a crafty veil.
Yeah. Her luxury item is a self-made headdress.
I don't know. What it always reminded me of is that she kind of is, I don't know, incidentally or not, making herself look like George Clinton. The singer, if you really look at the two of them side by side, it's actually
fairly
similar.
I think that's what
similar.
She said she was going for.
Yeah, I think she was really going for that George Clinton atmosphere out there in the Australian outback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, this is very noticeable.
Ironically, she's not a fan of Clintons.
Exactly. That's the only Clinton she's a fan of.
Clinton.
This is a very unique thing. You know, this is not improvised on the island, but I think it's very much improvised in its craftsmanship, and that it's just literally strips of gingham and fabric tied to a headdress. I don't really see the utility of it, nor the fashionability, but it's almost like so cyclically ugly, it's kind of beautiful.
So that this, you have to remember that Survivor is a phenomenon at this point. And Elizabeth Filarski, she is an aspiring like TV design host. And so they give her a chance. Well, what do you want to bring on the island? And she wants something that represents her sense of fashion and style, because what she wants to do, she wants to use this as a springboard to do hosting about design and style. So that's really, I think, where the idea for the immunity headdress comes from. She's designed something to bring luck to her on the show. And, you know, she was a highly popular Survivor player.
Yeah. In another world, she would be an all-star and Boston Rob would not have the wife that he has, probably.
Would he be married to her?
I don't know if I want to live in that world for many, many reasons. I mean, the other big question is, Chantel, is this a hat?
Ooh.
I do not think it's a hat.
Ooh.
What is the definition of a hat?
I think it's an adornment. You know what I mean? I think it's something to beautify, but I think hats have function. So if it's a beanie or a toque, it's, you know, keeps the head warm. Okay. You know, if it's a brim, it keeps the sun out of the eyes. So, or if you're bald, it could cover a bald spot. So that's maybe the only way that this could be considered a hat, if she was bald, maybe.
Well, she was losing her hair in clumps due to the malnutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fair. But I don't think it classifies. I wouldn't be in the hat section. Okay. It might be in the.
Well, you are going to have a very interesting discussion a few rungs down here with maybe another person coming up.
Yes. Okay. A hat is a shaped covering for the head worn for warmth as a fashion item or part as a uniform. I mean, it is a covering for the head, which is a fashion item. I think that a headdress is a hat.
Yeah, I mean, it is a head covering, technically.
Is a headdress a hat?
Let's leave this to the internet.
Okay, is a hot dog a sandwich of fashion?
Yeah.
A headdress is an elaborate ornamental or practical covering for the head as differentiated from the hat, which has a crown, which includes many varieties such as the hairnet, headband, head wrap, wreath, or chaplet.
Interesting. So by their definition, sort of like the square rectangle thing where they're both head coverings, but a hat is different from a headdress.
Okay. All right. So where do we put this then?
Yeah, this is a good question because it is unique. I think it's affiliated with the character. I think, I don't know about the Family Feud for Elizabeth Hasselbeck at this point, but I think with Survivor affiliated, I think it's definitely up there. It's one of those, like, it sort of is the in the same manner.
Not
as,
in
like,
her top eight.
The Sydney Rice hat of, like, where did this come from? Why is she wearing this? But she wore it a time and time again. But the thing is, if it's not actually a hat, that might bring it down some.
Chantal, I'm really coming around to this because is a buff a hat?
No.
Buff is not a hat.
It wouldn't be in the hat section. It would be like in the scarf section or, you know.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Hand section, but I don't think it's going to be in the hat section.
So I think we should still place it. I think we should disqualify it.
No, I think we're still going to place it. But I guess the question is, but if we're disqualifying it, does that automatically put it in the bottom tier?
I don't think so, because I don't think it's so ratchet that it is an abomination.
Agreed. I do think that for memorabilia, like, you know, just
this would go for a lot of money on eBay.
It probably would because it's a little bit more interesting. You know, it's unique to her. I didn't remember it until now, but that was like 20 years ago. So that's okay. But I kind of remember when I saw her in it, it became something that I associated with her. I'm like, oh, there's Elizabeth is again with that headdress thing. So I actually think it's out of the bottom tier, to be honest.
Yeah,
I would agree.
I think it's at the bottom of Ain't No Hershey Bar.
Yeah, I think it's more memorable than both Ozzy's and Sanders, but I feel like, unfortunately, the dictionary has sort of guided us in a direction right now that disqualifies it heavily to knock it down a few pegs.
Okay. All right. Sorry, Liz. Not good. All right. Let's look at our next hat on the rack. Hopefully this is a hat, Mike.
This is definitely a hat. We are staying on the topic of Australian Survivor of the Australian Outback castaways, and we are going to the Black Widow herself.
Oh, the
Jerry
Black
Manthi. Okay. And this is the black hat that I believe she wore in Heroes versus Villains. I can't remember. I think she had a brown or white hat in her other two seasons.
Okay. All right. Yeah, similar to this, my hat.
Yeah, but it has the flips up. It's got more of the solid, like, starchiness to it than, oh, look at this, Rob. Look at you. Hat,
yeah.
Look at you, Pharrell.
No, look at me. I could do it all with this hat. This should go for $25 on eBay now.
Yeah, you should have added that. You should have added that blip about, oh, it's so versatile. It could flip up.
Mm-hmm. You do it all. Okay.
Oh, now it looks like you're in a windstorm.
Yes. All right. Now let's talk about Jerry Manthi, recent guest on Talking with T-Bird podcast.
Yeah. I mean, this is this is iconic to me. I think this is the most iconic we've come in contact with since the first one with Russell's. I mean, this is a type of hat that she's going to wear through all three of her seasons, given the reputation she receives. And especially
part of her signature look.
Yeah, especially her as the villain, you know, like this is associated with her. We have her and Colby as the Westworld style white hat and black hat. Like this is an iconic piece of Survivor headwear, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Shantel, any thoughts on Jerry Manthe's black hat?
I think it's iconic for sure. Like even in the beginning, I was talking about my hat, and I was already thinking about Jerry Manthe and her hat. And so if she wasn't wearing a hat, I don't know if I'd even recognize her, to be honest. So I definitely think this has a strong showing here in this list. It's iconic.
Okay. All right. Let's see if we can place it. All right. Jerry Manthe's hat. Okay.
I mean, I'll make a bold claim here. I want her to be sitting alongside her former villain ally, Russell Hands, right there up and worth playing for.
All right. Well, how about this? Why don't we let's start there and let's see if we which direction it goes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is it better than Russell's hat?
I don't think it's better than Russell's hat just because, you know, you've already mentioned before, but like, you know, bring it to tribal council or like, you know, in Australia, or the fact that it was thrown in the fire. Like we have like other things that have happened around that hat to make it have kind of an entity. But I think it's definitely worth playing for. It's up there for, you know, it being iconic, it being related to her. I don't see her without the hat in terms of Survivor. Like, even if she was wearing a ball gown, I would assume that she'd probably, like, for Survivor event, wearing some sort of, like, hat that would go over us. So I think it's her brand.
Part of her look, yeah.
Yeah, I think what really is just keeping it from the top spot is, like Chantel said, there just happens to be more memorable moments affiliated with the hat and the hat alone. The hat sort of becomes its own entity away from Russell at several points in Survivor history. That does not happen. Jerry Manthe's hat has not grown sentience yet, so I have to put her behind him right now.
Yeah. I could quibble with it being in the top tier, but it's not a hill I want to die on. If you told me before we started here tonight, name the five most important hats in Survivor history, I probably would not have gotten to Jerry Manthe's hat, but I think it's better than Big Tom's hat.
Yeah, definitively.
So I don't have a problem with it being where it is. Mike, are you good?
I'm good. Listen, I love honoring these old school characters in any way. So putting Jerry Manthe up here, hat included, just warms the cockles of my heart.
Chantel,
I hear a Fiona Apple song in my head right now.
Yes. Chantel, are you good with this?
I am good with this. Yes.
Okay. All right. Jerry Manthe joins Russell Hance on the worth playing for tier. All right. Let's look at our next hat on the rack, Mike.
So this is another twofer. And I know twofer. This for a fact was
talking
indeed
about Judah Friedlander. Now we're talking about twofer.
Yeah, exactly. This indeed was done purposefully. This is an homage. So speaking of villains, Courtney Yates wore this like stone gray pageboy cap in Survivor Heroes versus Villains that was a callback to the winner of her season, the previous several seasons ago, Todd Herzog, who wore this throughout his season.
Now, is it the same hat?
I don't know if it's the same exact hat, but it's definitely the same type of hat. I mean, you can see they look very, very similar here.
Okay. Chantel, your thoughts?
I mean, it's who's wearing the hat? Like, which person are we actually placing on the board?
I put Todd in there because he's the original one, but I wanted to make note of Courtney because, you know, this is one of those hats that gets not only called forward, but called forward by another person.
So, yeah, if it's Todd that we're placing on the board, I don't remember him with the hat. But I think it goes with his look here. So I think it's a decent hat. It's not great, but it's decent.
Yeah. It's interesting that if it's the same hat, if it's the same style of hat, it is less exciting for me. Does the chat know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Does someone want to text Courtney Yates or Todd Herzog to find out?
Okay. I'm trying to see if I can find the answer real quick.
Go ahead.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I'm intrigued by the material of this hat because we talked about this a bit with Victoria's wool beanie, and obviously this is a bit of a stiffer material than that. but I can't tell. It did seem very like fuzzy and textured, like a lot of Pageboy caps are. And I don't know how conducive that is to Survivor. Granted, they were not in the tropics, so I think it's less egregious than Victoria's hat. But I got to imagine if that thing gets wet, like it takes on water like nobody's business.
Probably. If it's any consolation, somebody on Reddit 5 years ago says it was the same hat and Todd gave it to her for luck.
Okay. So I think that does say something.
According to Padisha Emperor on Reddit.
Yeah. So I think that does say something, though. It's a legacy. It gets carried forward.
So I like that. If it's the same hat and it played two seasons, I like that.
It's a returning hat.
Returning hat.
Well, if it's kind of symbolizing Todd when he goes on to the next season, I think that does bring its own legacy up a little bit. And so the hat legacy is growing here with it being passed on to Courtney. So I do think that it bumps it up a lot.
Was it worn in any Dragons videos?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if Courtney like wore it backwards when she was singing alongside JT and Coach. What I think also helps this hat, at least if we're going by these pictures, I think they both pull them off spectacularly. I think maybe it's just that they both have fairly small heads, but I think they both rock them fairly well here. I remember Todd especially like looked very snappy in this cap as he was wearing it throughout Survivor China.
All right.
Did she mention that she was wearing his hat like ever on the actual show? Or are we just?
I mean, listen, we didn't see a lot of Courtney and Survivor Heroes versus Villains proper. I don't think they're talking about her hat choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Who owns the hat now would be a good question.
Well, that is a good question. Maybe
they pass it back.
Well, I'm trying to remember if any other. I don't think any other Survivor China. Well, maybe they pass it off to PG for Survivor Cambodia. Like
maybe she has it.
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Hat.
Okay. The hat could be cursed.
Well, it did win once.
We won once, and that was it. All right.
This might be the JT hat.
The JT.
The worst all right. Every time.
Let's take a look at the Todd hat. All right. Mike, this hat is not Ratchet, correct?
It's not Ratchet. So I think it's definitely in Ain't No Hershey Bar. So the question is, so I think it's better than the headdress because it is a hat.
It is a hat. Okay. And Fair enough.
The question is, do we think it's more memorable than Ozzy's sun hat and Sandra's camo hat?
It played twice.
It did play twice.
What do you think?
And like the Sandra camo hat, it was part of a winning game as well.
See, I guess what I'm grappling with here is that I don't remember the hat. But he looks good in the hat, and like I like the fact that it's been passed along. And so if I just look at those other two criteria, I think that it goes to the top of the Ain't No Hershey Bar, like ahead of Sandra's. For the fact that it has a larger legacy, because Sandra didn't bring it back a second time.
Okay.
Yeah, I could either do that, or I could be swayed to put it between Ozzy and Sandra. Mm-hmm. Where again, I think it's better than Ozzy, but I think I could go either way as to whether I like the Pageboy cap worn by Sandra's ally or the camo cap worn by Sandra herself.
This is an interesting discussion that you have. Sandra, whose hat was worn one time. But is probably more memorable than this other hat that played twice, but is less memorable.
That's the ultimate Survivor discussion, right? Like, do you want to be the flash in the pan, one-time contestant that everyone talks about?
Or have longevity.
Yeah, exactly.
When I see it like this, I feel as though Sandra should be ahead of him.
Okay.
I'm good with making this a Todd sandwich here.
It doesn't feel right. Yeah, this feels better to me. It makes more sense. For whatever reason, I was like, oh, that's not right. So this feels sits better.
Great. All right, Mike, let's go back to the rack.
All right, let's go back to the rack. We're going to a modern season, and we are talking about a magical hat. Lauren Rimmer's always white baseball cap that for some reason
it never gets dirty.
That somehow never gets dirty. Now, that's the thing. I think the memorability of it comes from the fact that this is just a miracle of science and nature.
Yeah.
I think that's probably going to hold more water above like the actual, fashion statement of the cap itself. But I think it's a memorable one from the season, at least.
Hi, I'm Lauren Rimmer for OxyClean.
Exactly. Maybe that was like she had like the secret repository just in a beach bunker that she would wash every night.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, maybe she didn't sweat that much because, like, I would expect her to be eventually a sweat stain or something like that. I don't know. So maybe she's not.
A white hat. Okay. Other than it did not get dirty. Is there anything else that was memorable about this hat, Mike?
But that's something pretty memorable, considering that our number one hat so far gets dirty and then some. This is one that has
somehow, she's a hustler.
Yeah, and this is somehow one that has survived that. I mean, even besides like the sweatband stuff, if you leave this hat around the fire, it's going to get like covered in smoke and ash and dirt. So I'm still astounded, what, 3.5 years later, almost 4 years later, that this actually ended up, you know, still surviving the entirety of Lauren's time on here, still pristine.
Chantel, any thoughts about the white hat?
I mean, definitely impressive that it's still white. I'm wondering if like we're only just seeing it getting a little bit darker shades of gray and we just can't tell because it's been so gradual. So I want to see maybe the before and the after with this particular hat.
That's a good question, though. Like,
how it started. How's it going?
Yeah. Could this be a thing, though, Rob, where maybe was there some color correction done on the editor's part where this hat did not become clean and they said, we want to make this a thing. We want to show how perfect Lauren Rimmer is as a contestant up to that point that she gets idled out. So we're going to make her have a hat that never gets dirty.
Is it interesting? It's interesting. Do you think that the hat is fluorescent green and they were able to chroma key or whatever color they wanted?
It was weird with that one confessional when there was like a goofy cartoon playing on Lauren's hat by accident, but they really corrected that afterwards.
Yeah. Okay. Boy, Lauren Rimmer, she's a hustler with a white hat. Is it memorable? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I wonder, I feel like if you asked us this like in 2017 or 2018, we would say absolutely. But a few years removed, I think it might have fallen a bit in the memorability, especially compared to like when you have your Victoria's beanies superseding the hat talk.
Yeah. All right, let's see if we can place it. Let's see where that hat should go. It certainly is not Ratchet or Hatchet in this case.
You don't want to take a hatchet to it.
No. So let's bring it up to... Ain't no Hershey bar. It is a hat, so I think it's better than Elizabeth Filarski's immunity headdress. Is it better than Ozzy's straw hat?
Yeah, I think it's more memorable. It's much more discussed. I mean, I can imagine even if social media existed back during Survivor Micronesia, I don't think people are like, but Ozzy's sun hat, though. This definitely garnered some. I mean, Rob, you had a number of feedback questions about it every week.
Okay, so Lauren Rimmer, white hat over the Todd's hat that plays twice.
Yeah, what do you think, Chantel?
The hat is a hustler.
This is really hard, you know. I do think that it's more memorable than Todd's hat. And I feel like I've had this discussion about her hat, how it stayed so white. I don't know if she talked about it on the show or after the show. So there's been discussion about the hat after that I seem to be recalling. And so with that... it has taken on its own entity to a certain extent. And so I do feel that it's higher ranked than Todd's. But I think this is as far as I can let her go.
I don't know. The fact that this hat does not win and Todd's hat does that bear weight? This is a non-winning hat.
But it's also a losing hat.
Yeah, I mean, it's one Todd's for two, hat. Though. Yeah. Which this one is zero for one.
Yeah.
Would Todd wear that hat if he played again? I think Lauren would wear that hat if she came on to the show.
The same
again.
One, or should we get a new one?
I mean, she doesn't need a new one. She's got this magical one, this like immortal mint
condition.
Hat.
Yeah, she put the hat on eBay. Mint condition, white hat.
Never been removed from package.
Hmm. So,
Sandra's though. Sandra's is more iconic.
Yeah, Sandra is the wall here for Lauren Rimmer. I don't think that she gets over it. I guess the question is, you go Lauren Rimmer and Todd, or Todd then Lauren Rimmer?
I'm going to go, I put Lauren above Todd, because I think Todd and Courtney have the legacy. But again, maybe I'm sort of like led astray by the discourse. I do feel like there was... talk about this hat in the way of like Victoria's beanie and Sydney's rice hat, which talks about its memorability more than, oh yeah, Todd and Courtney happened to wear this hat in the seasons they appeared in.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to the hat rack. And Mike, what's next?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have been patient enough. Hey. We have reached the little bee hat itself.
Some people say that they don't even like that little bee hat.
Yeah, I mean, some people at the top of the rankings might say that. But, yeah, I mean, I thought maybe I'd troll for a second.
I don't even like the Boston Red Sox.
But I thought I'd troll by maybe including his Patriots hat or that red Boston Red Sox hat he wore in the Winners at War preseason. But no,
the classic.
This is one of the most notable pieces of Survivor wardrobe ever. He didn't wear it in his first season, but in the umpteen seasons he's appeared in since, he has always worn this Boston Red Sox hat.
Yeah. Just as a interesting note for sports fans, that Boston Rob wore the Patriots hat when he went to go play in the fall of 2001 in Survivor Marquesas. And then that January, the Patriots would go on to win the Super Bowl. But it was, well, 31? Not exactly. Don't quote me on that. Then later, it's probably higher than that. But then he would then come back in 2003 and wear the Boston Red Sox hat. And then the following October that we had just seen, it was the Aaron Boone game that happened like a week before we went to go play. And the Boston Red Sox would then win the following World Series after Boston Rob wore the Boston Red Sox hat.
Yeah, I mean, talk about the opposite of the cursed hat. This is a superpower. We talked about in Lauren Rimmer's immortal white hat. This is a hat that has been able to correspond well to good luck in sports, especially, I mean, you know, the Red Sox winning in 2004 was a massive, massive earth-shattering deal. And I guess we have Boston Rob to thank for it.
Super Bowl 36.
But yeah, I mean, this is, you know, this is an iconic piece of Survivor wardrobe. Again, every single time he's come back, besides that first time, he has worn this Boston Red Sox hat. He has worn it to the point where in the very first episode of Survivor Winners at War, or I think the second episode, for some reason, he wears it in the water and he has a saltwater stained Boston Red Sox hat that he wears throughout the rest of the duration.
That's a big mistake. Mike, you would never wear a Starfleet hat in the water, right?
Oh, absolutely not. Because that's when I get beat up by the mermen. But yeah, that's also besides the point. Like, yeah, why would you wear your hat in the water whatsoever? It's good. Like, these are not waterproof things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Chantal, any thoughts on the Boston Red Sox hat?
I mean, I loved Boston Rob from his first showing, and I was just always been a fan.
Hey,
and
Chantal,
so
you're not so bad like, yourself.
Thanks. kind of like how I love Janelle. She can do no wrong. I feel like he can do no wrong here, fashion-wise or not. Like, it just, like, I like it.
He can do some wrong.
Pardon?
He could do some wrong.
He did wrong about four out of five times, I would say.
Yeah.
Fair. But I mean, I'm still going to like what he has to wear. Like, I like that his hat, like people are like, oh, he wears it too often. Like, I don't care. It's Boston Rob. He can wear the hat. Like, so I like the hat. It reminds me of him. Even just in regular life, if I see someone with that hat, I think of Boston Rob. And I call him Boston Rob. He's not anybody. He's not just Rob anymore. So I think it's very iconic. And I mean, I'm just going to put it out here from the beginning. I think that's going to be might rival Mr. Russell Hance's hat. Just
saying.
Come
down to Rob versus Russell again, where it's like we're back in 2010 all over again.
Okay. All right. Let's join on the worth playing for tier. Better than the Jerry Manthe hat, correct?
Definitely.
Okay. All right. Rob versus Russell.
Oh, boy.
Once upon a time, Russell said, I'm going to take that little bee hat. I don't even like the Boston Red Sox. what happens here?
So here's the thing. Ironically, in my opinion, in Russell doing that, he has guaranteed that 10 years later, Boston Rob would take him over in the noticeable hat rankings.
Wow.
I'm with you here.
There are memorable moments with the fedora, certainly. But this is, I cannot imagine a more iconic piece of wear for a Survivor character, let alone probably the biggest contestant face of the franchise in its 40 seasons so far.
Yeah.
Do you think that Boston Rob is a stupid nickname unless you realize that he wears a Boston Red Sox hat all the time?
Now, I will say that in my mind, I was about to make the argument of that it should be number one because it's on Boston Rob's Hall of Fame bust on the Island of the Idols. But
it is not.
Boston Rob is sans hat in statue form on the Island of the Idols. Probably a issue with Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I don't think they want to make a 20-foot hat.
Yes.
also to mention,
the Hall of Fame will pick what hat Boston Rob wears in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and then it changes every year depending on the World Series winner. I believe the heads were made by them doing like a 3D scan of their heads. And so I also do believe that, like, I can imagine the shadows cast by the hat might have also affected his face as well. So they wanted to keep it.
They should have had a hat, like, you know, far be it for me to quibble with Survivor's most perfect season, but they should have put the hat on Boston Rob's statue.
I just wonder, though, if he would be as recognizable with the statue version of himself in the hat. Like, I don't know. I feel like it would shadow his face. Like, you wouldn't be able to tell that it was Boston Rob, I think.
And that might be would give it away.
Pardon?
The B would be a big signal, because not for anything, the statue does not look that much like Boston Rob.
It does not. No, it doesn't necessarily. It's also, it's interesting because the B hat is almost like the, like, Superman insignia, right? Of like, you know, it stands for the first letter of your name as well. So it's very easy to remember.
Yep.
I don't know. Okay. I mean, I know we're showing a bit like basic Survivor opinions here by having Boston Rob place first in something, but as small of a gesture this may be of like, oh, it's a Boston Red Sox hat, the fact that it kept coming back again and again and served as like parts of little storylines to the point that you made before with the Russell clip shows that it has staying power and has become one of the most infamous headpieces in the Survivor franchise, period.
Okay.
And I remember around Halloween time, I think Boston Rob was posting people that was going as him and Amber for Halloween. And every single man was wearing a Boston Red Sox cap.
Yeah,
so
yeah, the easiness for cosplay does mark it up as well.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to the rack with Boston Rob as number one. Let's see if someone can dethrone Boston Rob. Okay. Mike is reaching down. Are you going to?
Oh, doggies. Yeah. Okay. Cowboy hats.
Cowboy hats. Are these going to be all cowboy hats?
No, so we're only doing a one because suffice it to say, there are a lot of cowboy hats across Survivor history. And where
Mike,
I
you
went,
look like Andy from Toy Story.
Wait, I look like Andy, not Woody?
Yeah.
I look like the kid?
Yeah.
Not the actual Woody?
That's right. I said it.
All right, well, I better go write my name on people's feet to make sure that they're mine.
Start with Asher. Yeah.
Start with Asher, exactly. But yeah, so I went a bit off the beaten path here with the cowboy hat. Because, yeah, there's a lot of cowboy hats across Survivor history. And I will say, save it for the sequel for some of these cowboy hats that get snubbed here. But I'm going to go to Survivor South Pacific. And I'm going for another twofer here. Because I'm going to Rancher Rick. Now, look, Rancher Rick's hat on its own might just be a typical cowboy hat, but when a young John Cochran, like Mike Bloom, put that hat on, magic was made in the form of Cochran's new look.
All right, let's scroll down to Cochran's. Cochran wearing Rancher Rick's hat. Boy, Rancher Rick was a real character. He was at RehabCon 2017.
Yeah, the one in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, in Salt Lake City, we got together with Utah's finest, and boy, he was a wild card.
Yeah, so I mean, listen, that would not reflect necessarily in the edit, perhaps, but I think that the hat definitely got a pop when he was wearing this. And what was he was wearing Coach's jacket as well, and like doing the cool kid walk. And I remember that all the Savai people were like just mercilessly staring daggers at him because, to quote a member of that tribe, he screwed them over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Chantel, what do you make of the Rancher Rick hat as worn by Cochran?
I like it on Rancher Rick.
Cochran can't pull it off? What?
I do not think that Cochran pulls it off. I feel as though the hat is more iconic on its own than being worn by Cochran. Yeah, it's still not a great look, in my opinion. But good on him for giving it a go.
I don't know. It makes Cochran look like he like had a cowboy party, you know? Like, this is my themed birthday party and everyone's invited.
Mike, should Cochran have worn a Rancher Rick's hat when he played a second time?
I mean, then it would have been a truly a one for two. I mean, he needed any hat considering how sunburned he got. I don't believe this is in the list, but I do believe he pulled a Sydney and did the container, the wicker container of the rice as a hat as well at points during Survivor Karamoan.
Okay. Should we place the Cochrane hat?
Let's place the Cochrane hat. Rob, what do you think about it?
So I guess just looking at the board, I find it that it's probably easier just to talk it through. It's not Ratchet. It's not Hatchet. It's not as bad as Danny or Johnny Fairplay. It is a hat. So I feel like it's above, Filarski. I feel like it was a memorable moment on the show in addition to being part of, the look. So just, and that I'm just talking it through in terms of where I think it should go. So I think it's more memorable than Ozzy. Mm-hmm. I think I remember that scene more than anything with Todd's hat. And I think it's sort of getting up to the Lauren Rimmer, Sandra part here. And I think it's, I think I'd probably have it above Todd and below Lauren Rimmer.
Yeah.
Chantel, what do you think?
You make a good, when you started moving it ahead of Lauren, I was like, no. So I feel I feel most comfortable it's sitting.
Yeah, it's very Westworld, the white hat versus the black hat.
We randomly have said that Cochran looks like he's entering Westworld for the first time, which, Lord help us if whatever Cochran would do in Westworld.
It's memorable. It doesn't look great on him, but it's a decent hat. It's functional as a hat. I don't know. I don't think he'd wear it if he came back again.
I mean, he didn't, and he did.
Yeah.
No, he did come back, and he didn't. So
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think on like the fairy.
You'd remember it if he wore it when he came back.
Yeah, or even when he was when he was consulting with Debbie Wanner on the boat, he did not wear the hat either.
So I don't think it gets to the top of or like the bottom of the next row or anything like that. I feel like
is
he's
it
pretty
too high.
I can be comfortable with him being here.
Isn't there something funny though about him being right above Ozzy? Doesn't that feel like some sort of just like reverberation in the Survivor universe? Yeah.
Anna in the chat says this hat above Todd's hat is a crime.
Well, that's what black hats do, Anna. They participate in a lot of crime.
Yes,
I mean,
okay.
I'm okay with this as well.
Hey, that's the reason why people go to Westworld, to commit all sorts of crimes.
Ash brings up a great point in the chat. Todd's hat is memorable because he pulls it over his eyes after the James blindside. I do remember that Todd did have some like prop play with the hat. It was not nearly on like a huge memorable level, but I do feel like that does, and it's two scenes I think do supersede the one scene of Cochran wearing the hat and sort of pretending to be Mr. Cool Guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that Todd has been making pop figures of late. Is the Todd Herzog pop figure wearing the hat?
I don't believe it is, but I believe it's rocking like his reunion look, which is like the spiked up hair. Otherwise, I could imagine he's wearing the hat.
Okay.
Maybe he's made multiple ones because I see, for some reason in my mind's eye, I see that there's a hat on there, but maybe he's made multiple versions of them.
So, okay. If I go to Todd's Pop Shop on Instagram, let me see. He is not wearing the hat. So not sure if this is a point in its favor or against it. Also, Ozzy is not wearing the hat in the pop shop either.
What about the inevitable Cochran figure? Will it have the hat?
I don't believe so.
So they're all equally damned.
They're all, yes. So far. Yeah, we do not see. I see a Ramona one that has a hat.
Ramona?
Boston hat? Yes, Boston Rob is wearing the B hat.
Okay, well, that's, you know, that makes sense. That's only natural. Otherwise, they'd be like, who is random white male pop figure that I got in the mail, Todd?
Yeah. Okay. So we'll see. I'll have to see if we can cross reference any of these survivors.
Is
with
it pop worthy?
Todd Herzog pop shop hat. Give a plug to Todd Herzog. Go to at Todd Pop Shop on Instagram. It's very good. Very clever.
Yeah, I've seen some of them. They're very, very good. All right. Let's round the base here because I have one that's a little bit out of nowhere. Because I'll be honest, I sort of forgot about it until I saw this in Reddit. Anyone remember a first boot by the name of Courtney Moon from Survivor
One World? M-O-O-N. That spells Courtney. Yes.
And so Courtney, people might remember in her short stay in One World, had a hat. It was a knit hat that was a whale.
Okay. All right. Yeah, this is an interesting hat.
It's a very interesting hat. It's very like kawaii. Like it does very much seem like something you would get from an anime convention or like something an anime character would wear to show how quirky they are.
Yeah, I think it's a good hat for a baby.
I mean, it would keep them warm. I think that the knit cap would definitely help in that weather.
Yes. Okay. Chantel, what do you make of the Courtney Moon Fudgy the Whale hat?
I almost remember this happening, but I don't. So I'm just going to go from this person that's on my screen right now. I like the hat. I think that, with her tattoos, and it seems like she has an interesting outfit that she's been allowed to wear.
Yeah.
She's probably kind of quirky, and it seems as though if she had lasted longer that it could have been something that became synonymous with her. So I actually like the hat, but I just don't remember the moment right now.
Well, she's only in about 35 minutes of one episode.
And by that, it's still down to about 2 minutes, and half of that is her breaking her wrist and leaving the game.
Yeah. Okay. So
did I like her? Was she like someone that we were rooting for?
We didn't know her. She was like a quirky. I mean, the thing that's actually most memorable about her is that in getting her wrist fixed, she was diagnosed with a very deadly disease that nobody knew she had until that moment. So ironically, breaking her wrist ended up saving her life.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
So
I like
the universe that works in mysterious ways.
It really does.
But I don't remember it.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Okay, so it speaks to the memorability of this hat. Mike, does this hat speak to you for some reason?
I really like the look of it, and it's definitely unique, right? Like, I think you can say a lot about all of these hats, but none of them are animal-oriented, and none of them are trying to eat the head of the person that it's on top of.
Is that what you think is happening here?
Looks like that half hat is, like, gulping her down, you know, swallow by swallow.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see if we could try to talk this through. The Courtney Moon hat.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be another one that ends up in Ain't No Hershey Bar. Because, again, it's really unmemorable in the long run. But is that because of Courtney Moon or is it because of the hat? It's going to be the big question.
The hat was fine.
Yeah, it's not on the bottom tier there. I think it's definitely above Elizabeth's hat. I don't know if it beats Ozzy's.
Yeah, well,
stuff.
Elizabeth's hat is not even a hat. This is right. Technically a hat. It's not Hatchet, so it's at least here. Ozzy's straw hat, I think, is right now what it's rubbing up against.
Hmm. Much to Ozzy's happiness. Yeah, I think that I just like the look of it, but the fact that it didn't last at all, I think, is a really big mark against it. Like, I think even if you talk about Courtney Moon, nobody's going to be talking about this hat. If she had lasted rounds more in the game, even in a weird season like Survivor One World, we would have been talking about this much more.
Yeah. Feels about right.
Yeah, I think I agree. This feels right as well.
Yeah.
I think we're
Elizabeth would be better if it was technically a hat. It is not.
We're going to beach this whale hat right here.
Okay. Oh dear.
All right. So let's go back to the rack. All right, Mike, what's next? Rack.
All right, let's go back. It's been a while since we've talked about an iconic hat. We're talking about a friend of yours, Rob, of course, the great Jonathan Penner. We're going back to fedoras.
I'd like my hat back, please.
Yeah, so this is his Micronesia hat, which is interesting because this is a bit of a Mandela effect for me, at least. I always thought his Micronesia fedora was leopard print. But if you zoom in like we do in this picture, it turns out that it actually just has a lot of holes in it to make it look like it's spotted.
Okay. All right. Chantel, any thoughts on Penner's? Is this Penner from any particular season, Mike, or is this Penner across the seasons?
I would say much like the B hat and much like Russell's hat, because this is something that Penner wears every season he's on. I think we can count them all in one.
Yeah, because I think if you were going to single out a season, I think that the Cook Islands edition of Penner has the most important hat, because it is a plot point when he gets voted out, blindsided without it, and then he asks for, I'd like my hat back, please. And then Yule brings it to the following tribal council, and then Jeff Probst chastises him for being a kisser butter.
Yeah, I mean, I think the hat is a great show of social game when
you
have a hard time representing it. I mean, there are other hat moments. Like, I know when Penner gets medevaced from Survivor Micronesia, I remember this big moment where he, like, pulls his hat over his head to, like, show, like, this is it. Johnny's taking his final bow. And then in Philippines...
Good luck, Johnny.
Exactly. In Philippines, when he has that fantastic, like, whistling walk out of tribal council, I do believe he, like, either tips his cap or, like, you know, takes his hat out of his hand. So Jonathan Penner has been one to always do stuff with his hats in all of his seasons.
Okay. Chantel, Penner's fedora. What does it mean to you?
I'm definitely agreeing here that I think of him, maybe not this exact fedora, but I don't picture him with any other type of hat or hat free. I've never seen him on any sort of appearances, even if I can remember that he wasn't wearing this hat or this type of hat. So 100%, I definitely feel like he, just putting it out there, is going to be on the top, battling out for one of those positions of having an iconic hat.
I love Penner. I love his fedora. Very excited to see where this lands.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big question is going to be, and we can even go over to the tier list now, is it better or worse than Jerry's? Because that's where I'm sort of putting it right now. I think it's still below Rahm and Russell's, because I think those are really just like top tier. But I do wonder if, Rob, you mentioned that they had the big hat moment at Cook Islands, but all of the Penner hat stuff, does that beat out a part that is a really big part of one of Survivor's biggest characters in Jerry?
I'll hear an argument, but at least there's a whole plot point about Penner's hat. Jerry, it's part of her look, which you could say the same about Penner, but at least Penner, that it was a plot point where Yule tried to curry favor with Penner and then brought the hat back to tribal council and got in trouble for it.
Yeah, and I think, though, even with that, you know, the fact that he can say, like, oh, I want my hat back is something that I think he recognizes as part of his identity, especially on the show. And so him not having it, he probably was like, didn't feel like himself, really. And so I think that, you know, that makes him move ahead of Jerry on this little scale here, because it's definitely an important piece of his identity and people respond to that hat being him.
Yeah. To that point, I think for all four of these people in the top, if you're doing a costume as them, the hat is essential.
Hat more.
Exactly. But I think that I agree that I think Penner's hat has just had more involvement in the show proper than we're used to seeing Jerry wear the hat, but we're also used to seeing Penner wear the hat and has also had involvement in strategy and maybe would have been the key to Yule Kwan winning in that very close 5-4 vote.
Okay, so Penner over Jerry, but he doesn't get past Russell. Just want to confirm that.
So I think there's too many more fantastic Russell moments around the hat than Penner's.
Penner, your hat will never be as great as mine.
Yeah, who would have thought of this entire bunch? Yeah, the top three are all Rob impressions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why don't you do Jerry Manthe impression?
No, maybe you should. Maybe start talking about chocolate. Talk about those Mrs. Fields cookies in a way, a lascivious way to Colby.
Chocolate chip cookie. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go back to the rack.
You're not going to like this next one.
I'm not?
I don't think you are.
Not going to be a hat.
It's Phillip's feather.
Oh boy. Mike, this is not a hat. It's not even close. It's a headband. Headband is not a hat by any definition. The headdress was, that was a 50-50 ball. That could have been a hat. There's no way that this is a hat in any way, shape, or form. It's a feather. Headband is not a hat.
I mean, it covers like a good inch of his head.
It's not even hatty. This is not even in the ballpark of a hat.
I mean, I cannot not say that part of the reason I included it was to get that reaction out of you. I mean, this is an iconic part of Phillip's ensemble, right? To the point where he even wears this to the final tribal council. He does what Russell cannot. To your point, this may technically not be a hat.
Mm-hmm. Chantel, am I missing something here?
It's not a hat. If it covered his head a little bit, I could maybe lean into it being some sort of hat or headdress.
Yeah.
But it's a headband with a feather on it, and it's not a hat.
The specialist, I think, will often, if you ever see him in real life, that he's a very fashionable guy. And often you'll see him wear a hat in real life. But I think that his Survivor fashion choice is known for one thing. And if we ever do best Survivor underwear, noticeable underwear,
the border.
Yes. Yes. Noticeable underwear. Sure. But Phillip's feather is not a hat.
Well, if he was like introducing, like, oh, hey guys, you like my hat? No, he would not say that. But he'd maybe say my feather.
I don't know. I feel like Phillip would say that.
Yeah. Right. That you would say that something, this would be the feather in my cap. There is no cap here.
Is my cap.
Yeah, that I have a feather and I have no cap.
A feather in no cap, I think, should be a new phrase. So here's the question then. Better or worse than the other no hat here? Better or worse than Elizabeth Filarski?
Yeah, well, first off, does it pass the bottom tier? Is it better than Danny Boatwright's Kansas City Chiefs hat? Now, both have some
feathers
correlation to American Indians.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think Phillip has maybe a better call than Danny Boatwright does.
You could argue that Phillip's feather headband is a Chiefs hat.
I just feel like, I don't know, this is such a big flex on Phillip's part that, like, I have to bump it up at least a little bit. Like, just the audacity, the gall for him to be able to just rock a feather on a headband and wear it to arguably one of the most important, like, group meetings in his life where he could become a $1 million winner of Survivor. That's gotta say something here. Above that hat, and even above Johnny Fairplay's one-time joke.
Yeah, the Johnny Fairplay hat is very bad. Chantel, do you have anything that could help us make sense of this?
I feel as though it bumps ahead of Johnny Fairplay's, but it stays on this tier. I feel like it needs to be next to Elizabeth's headpiece thing, because I feel like they're in the same kind of category, but I don't think that it's as nice to look at as Elizabeth's is. So I think it stays there.
They're connected in spirit.
It's sentiment, and I feel like, you know, Johnny and Danny are kind of in the same ballpark. I give him props because he made something creative on the island and stood strong with it, wore it to the tribal. But I don't think it gets any higher than that. Beat these two, I think.
I don't know. Okay. I agree, but on the other hand, now I'm looking at Ain't No Hershabar, and I'm like, I might want to bump Elizabeth down, to be honest.
I can get behind that as well.
Okay, let's move her down for now.
She's wearing a picnic table on her head.
Yeah, I was trying to reserve Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye for Ratchet, but also we could do Not a Hat or Ratchet. So it's the worst of the Not a Hat, but still above the most Ratchet.
From an aesthetic perspective or from a pure definition perspective, these are the worst hats.
It did not fit the bill either way.
Nope.
And Phillip's headband has no bill.
Or anything. Is this like a minimalist hat, technically?
It is not a hat in any way, Mike. There's nothing hat-like.
It needs to be like a cover some part of the head, I would think. Or have like a mini little brim.
All right. Mike, what else is on the rack?
So this might be another bit of a controversy here, because we're talking Colby Donaldson, but I incline not to include Colby Donaldson's cowboy hat, at least not in this. Hashtag save it for the sequel. We've got to talk about Colby's tundra hat.
Tundra hat.
This is so bananas out of nowhere. And this was the stereotypical before the Sidney Rice hat, before, you know,
before like, Aris made it cool.
Exactly. We had Colby randomly wearing a winter hat in various shots and at tribal councils during Survivor the Australian
okay.
Outback.
Mike, correct my memory. Colby here is on a reward and he is eating. He goes to go eat chili with like some local ranchers. Is that correct?
I can't remember if that was like the campfire reward, if this was just like him passed out in the shelter and then waking like, up the next day.
Different reward than when he wins the Aztec. This is early on.
The final four is when he wins the Pontiac Aztecs. No, that is not linked to the reward that we talked about during our first installment of Outlist. This is from day 22. So we're talking like the day after the merge, I think, in Survivor the Australian Outback.
Okay, yes. That seems early. So that maybe that's his hat. Maybe he didn't get it on a reward.
No, I mean, and he wears it to tribal council. We see him wear it, you know, at several different points over the course of the season. So it's not like a one and done thing. And this also holds a lot of distinction in that this is the very first entry that Mario Lanza ever wrote for the Survivor Funny 115.
Every morning I wake up and I thank God for two things. Number one, that I'm alive. Number two, that I got a tundra hat.
See, the promo could have ruined itself. He was just way too ahead of the time from what Otis would do several years.
Yes. Okay. Chantel, Colby's tundra hat.
Okay. I like the hat. I think that in general, it's a hat that I'm a fan of. I like the style of it. It usually looks good on most people that wear it. But I don't think of Colby with this hat. Didn't he used to always wear a cowboy hat?
Mm-hmm. And so, but he can't sleep in a cowboy hat. You sleep mm-hmm. with a cowboy hat over your face.
This is true. I just feel as though I don't, if I'm looking at this picture right now and I didn't know it was Colby, I wouldn't know who it was. And so that I think takes it away.
It looks like he's mid snore.
Yeah. Boo caught me sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Not Boo from Fiji.
Yeah.
That's my friend.
I don't know. I love this for so many reasons because it's so GD random. Like, it's not brought up whatsoever. It's the only time we could talk all about Victoria wearing, a beanie in the middle of Fiji. But this guy is wearing a winter hat during Survivor the Australian Outback. And they
get cold.
And they make no mention of it. It's the only time anyone has ever worn a winter hat. But it's like an intense winter hat. Like, this is what I would see like Bob and Doug from, from the Canadians wear as they're ice fishing and cracking wise about drinking brews.
Mm.
They're warm.
Yeah. All right. Should we look at the list?
I think we should look at the list. I don't know.
Are you saying, is this ratchet? You said it's random. Is it ratchet?
I don't know. It is not ratchet whatsoever. Like, I don't think this hat is ugly. The pure weirdness of it showing up here has.
What if it was a Kansas City Chiefs tundra hat, courtesy of Aris?
Well, that's the thing, is I think had Aris gone into more franchising, I think that would have gotten him in trouble in many different ways. But Colby on Hoth here.
I mean, that's that just to speak to Aris's tundra hat business. So, Otis Bushkauskas, that before the work that he has done with Christy Dawn, the company that him and his wife work on, Aris took over a tundra hat business from his dad, and they had NFL logos on the front. So
I didn't realize they actually did that.
They were marketed to NFL fans, and I have a couple of New York Jets tundra hats. I wouldn't know we were talking tundra hat. I would wear mine.
Yeah, it's like the exact opposite of the Boston Red Sox cap in terms of doing well for your teams. Then
hey, Sestanino, your tundra hat and your team are terrible.
But this might be one of the most unique hats we've had here. So I'll be honest, this really bumps it up in my opinion, but I would be intrigued to hear what you two think of it.
Okay. So do you want to start it off? Is it in the Courtney Moon territory?
I personally think it's well beyond it, but I'll defer to you.
Will it eclipse Moon?
Yes. It's definitely ahead of her.
Okay. Chantel, is it above Ozzy's straw hat?
I think it's above Ozzy's
Survivor heroes wearing random hats. That is the tier we were in right now.
Yes, it goes above Ozzy.
Wearing random hats they are not known for wearing.
Exactly.
Okay. Better than Ozzy Straw Hat. Okay. We are still in the Survivor favorites wearing hats they are not known for wearing. It's here. Here is
more bump here.
Above Cochran.
Well, I definitely don't think of Cochran wearing this, but Colby does wear hats in general. So him wearing a hat is not unusual. So that's why I think that it places ahead of Cochran, just because like he's a hat guy. So this is just another hat of his. I just have never seen him wear.
Mike, how do you feel about this?
I mean, I would personally put him in my life as fine. Just because I...
What?
I love this hat. I was
going to say, Chantel is way too high.
I love this hat so much. Maybe it's because I want to link it up with its Winter Brethren in Victoria's beanie, but it's, you know, on the head of a memorable Survivor character. It is so random. It's something that I remember does get talked about occasionally when I asked for suggestions. There were a good amount of suggestions of Colby's winter hat here because it is so out of nowhere. I think this totally fits the bill and the theme of Victoria and Sydney of here are hats that show up randomly and are so WTF that get no mention whatsoever.
I don't think it goes that high because kind of when I'm picturing these things, if the person wasn't wearing the hat, would I be able to tell who it was representing? And so if I saw that hat just as, you know, on its own, I would not be putting that with Colby.
If you asked me an hour ago, did Colby wear a tundra hat in Survivor Australia? I said, no, that didn't happen. But it did.
This is highway robbery.
But I would say that Victoria wore her beanies.
Yes,
so
for sure.
That's why I wouldn't put him next to her.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would have it next to Courtney Moon. And I'm not even sure on which side. Yeah.
No. I mean, I think this is more memorable and WTF than Cochran cosplaying as a cowboy.
I got to take my hat off. All right. I feel like this is really the most that we've had a disagreement on through three outwit outplay outlist.
Yeah, this is our Casa de Charmin of this hat podcast.
Yes, I mean, I'm prone to say that if Chantel is in the middle, then go with leave it where it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine. I am dissatisfied, but I would be more dissatisfied if this fell any lower. So I will settle. I think this is an okay spot right next to it's similar, like sort of fuzzy, filthy page boy cap from Todd Herzog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not going to die on this hill, but I feel like that that the hat it is closest to is the Courtney Moon hat. It is the only other hat that has ear flaps. I think it belongs next to Courtney. That it probably should be one above Courtney Moon of well-known Survivor with randomly in a hat with ear flaps. One spot ahead of unknown Survivor randomly wearing a hat with ear flaps. That is how I would slice it. But we'll leave him below Todd and above Cochran.
I will also point out this was Tribal Council approved. He wore this to a tribal council and held up a vote in the voting booth wearing this hat.
That's something. Okay. All right. Mike, what's next?
We've only got a couple left here. We're going back to the improvisational trail. We cannot talk about noticeable hats without talking about MacGyver herself. MacGyver in a different form. Edna Ma's tree mail hat is from Survivor South Pacific.
Controversy incoming, Chantel, Edna Ma, she converted tree mail to a visor. But the question at hand, is a visor a hat?
It is more of a hat than the headdress or the feather. I think that especially because it has a visor or a brim right here, it's covering the eyes. So it's doing one of the functions that a hat can do. And that is keeping the sun out of your eyes. Okay. So that purpose, I would say that it would be in the hat section at the, you know, department store.
All it's missing is a top. That's all it's missing.
And I've seen caps and people cutting out the hat part, like the head part of, and making it into a visor. So I feel as though, you know, someone just took out that step. So it is a hat or in the hat.
So the pure ingenuity of this needs to be bumped up immensely.
Yeah.
Because say what you want to about the natural disc shape of the rice canister. Edna Ma took a look at a parchment that they got for a challenge and said, I've been on Shark Tank. I can innovate this.
Oh.
Let me stiffen this out and make it into a brim that I can then make into a hat to block out the sun.
Edna Ma is an engineer that, as you mentioned, Mike, that she is an inventor. She went on Shark Tank to promote her product, I believe, Numb Nuts, which was a numbing cream for the purposes of waxing.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, from whether it be fashion or personal grooming, Edna's got things on lock here. Mm-hmm. And this is definitely something, if we're going back to the whole Colby conversation, this is something I distinctly remember about her character. She wore it in confessional multiple times. It was definitely one of those, even back in 2012 when this aired, or 2011, what the hell is Edna wearing on her head moment.
Yes. Wikipedia says a visor is a type of crownless hat. So, a crownless hat still is a hat.
Yeah, you don't need that top, I guess, to make it a hat.
Okay. So, I like this. I like the ingenuity. Mm-hmm. It was memorable. Perhaps 100 people surveyed, top 5 answers on the board. Name something about Edna Ma. This could be the number one answer.
It's got to be number one. I think the other one would be like, oh, she was really loyal to Coach. But I don't know if that fits inside the survey.
Yeah. I think also number three, Numb Nuts.
Yeah. If people don't know the product, they were just blurting out words and they happened to get those two right.
Okay. All right. So should we place Edna Ma on the board?
Can I make my second consecutive time in a row? Can I make a campaign to put it in the second to top tier?
Second, in my life is fine.
I mean, look, I think it's closely comparable to what Sydney did, and so I think it at least belongs in that discussion.
All right, so then should it be next to Sydney? Should it be ahead of the beanie, Chantel?
Yes, it should be ahead of the beanie.
Oh.
Watching this her season and being like, so cool, like I love that she did that, it looks good, like I know I just like when people take the materials that they have on the island and do something innovative with it, and so for that I definitely think that she's above Victoria in this sense. It wasn't a purchased hat, it was a constructed by her imagination
okay
hat.
Is it better than Sydney's hat?
I think so.
Wow.
Too.
Okay.
I mean, I think that Edna's hat is more, to your Family Feud analogy, Rob, more connotated to her character than Sydney with the rice sled, personally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think because it's smaller, I think that it's more something she could maybe wear outside of the island. I love Sydney's hat, but it's a little bit gimmicky with its size. So I think for functionality, I think that Edna's hat is a little bit, or visor, is a little bit more functional. And so.
Okay. Let me go back and revisit a conversation from earlier.
Uh-oh.
Big Tom's hat is way too high. What is it doing here? It doesn't belong here with improvised hats that are sort of a interesting choice. I don't know. It feels like it doesn't belong here. I feel like if you want to say that Big Tom's hat is so great, I feel like it should be behind Jerry Manthe's hat in the top tier, but it feels just out of place randomly here in My Life is Fine.
I would put in an argument that I would maybe bump it behind Victoria, but still in My Life is Fine. Because I think it still remains above Ain't No Hershey Bar in that, unlike the Sandra Army hat, I think it's still something that like is linked to Big Tom's character. But I think that the three above it have been talked about much more and have more memorability in that perspective than Big Tom's hat.
Chantel, how do you feel about that?
I'm definitely was feeling when we were trying to place Edna that I didn't understand where Big Tom's hat was fitting in. And so this is sitting a little bit better for me like this. Okay. I definitely think Edna's top of this tier personally. And I didn't feel as though Big Tom fit in that role anymore.
Should Sandra be at the bottom of My Life is Fine rather than at the top of the third tier Ain't No Hershey Bar?
That's what I was thinking of too, because I feel like we've talked about Sandra as this wall But should the wall get pushed up? Because, I mean, I don't know. Let me ask you, too, because you kept coming back to, like, I don't remember Sandra in the army hat. Now, comparing it to some of these other ones specifically, does it bump her up from that criteria?
I feel like that of the hats that are on that Ain't No Hershey Bar tier, I could mentally imagine her wearing that hat, as opposed to the other hats are more of, like, curiosities than Sandra's hat, which is a hat she wore in one season, which is memorable, but not necessarily iconic.
And produced the first second-time winner in the series.
Chantel, how do you feel about all that?
Okay, I'm kind of... I feel like if we move Sandra, then we would have to also move Lauren for whatever... Like, so I feel like they're... I don't know. I don't know if I could see Lauren being at the top of the Ain't No Hershey Bar.
So here's what I would say. Is that I feel like that all of the hats, once you take Sandra out of it, are just sort of like curiosities. You have Lauren Rimmer's hat, never gets dirty. Todd's hat, which somehow played two seasons. Colby's out of nowhere Tundra hat. Cochran wearing Rancher Rick's hat. Ozzy wearing a straw hat for some reason. Courtney Moon wearing another whale ear flap hat. Sandra's hat is a normal hat. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is not as iconic as Tom's hat, which got worn on two seasons, but it was a memorable hat that Sandra wore.
I agree with you, and I can stand by you bumping her up.
I don't want to railroad this. That only do it if you think we should.
Good point. I do. I can agree with you,
Mike. How do you feel?
Listen, I came in here from the very beginning saying, like, hey, I think that Sandra's hat is memorable. That's why I put it in here. So you are speaking my language, Mr. Sesternino. I think put her in my life is fine.
And let the white hat of Lauren Rimmer be the wall.
Be the beacon.
Be the beacon. Defending all the other hats that just there is just shake that hat off that are trying to come and get a spot on Ain't No Hershey Bar. Okay. All right, Michael, we have one hat left.
One hat left. And so for those that are saying, what about this or this? Again, save it for the sequel. We have one hat left. And of course, I cannot talk about Survivor hats by talking about one of the biggest constants in Survivor. We are finishing things off with the man, the myth, the legend himself, Jeff Probst, in one of his many Survivor hats. We're talking about Jeff in the cowboy hat in this iteration.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about it. Jeff Probst was wearing the cowboy hat. Chantel, am I crazy? Is this hat a similar style to the Danny Boatwright hat?
Yes, it is.
Here's Jeff's hat. And then if I go up to Danny's hat, that it is, I feel like, a similar mold.
I mean, is it a Midwest thing? Because, you know, Probst, you know, has the whole Kansas thing about him that maybe it's just this idea of when you're from the Midwest, the sides of your hat flip up.
And so Jeff is going to switch to a baseball cap at some point. I'm not sure in which season. But, Mike, I feel like that. Do you know what season this image is from?
I don't. I feel like these are like the middle seasons. Like, I remember, like, in Survivor Fiji, I feel like I distinctly remember him.
Yeah, around the time that Danny wore the Chiefs hat.
Yeah, so maybe it was inspired.
I just wonder if that was a style of hat that was common for like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, it's almost like the trucker hat of the country scene.
This is a bad hat.
I don't know how I feel about it. I do remember Jeff wearing this hat or cowboy hats in general, but I don't know if I feel as though it's like, oh, Jeff Probst. Cowboy hat. Like, it is, I don't know if it's synonymous in that sense. So
yeah,
I think on this one a little bit.
I feel like this is also in the era where he wore the banana yellow shirt.
Yeah, like where he wasn't settled upon, like, as
was that
Michelle,
Cook Islands? Yeah.
Yeah, as Michelle Fitzgerald would say, like, you know, the blue and khakis had not really manifested itself yet. So Jeff's still experimenting with lengths of shirt, cuts of shirt, colors of shirt, hats as well. There's a lot of wardrobe going on.
Mm-hmm. Chantel, is this hat ratchet?
No, no.
It's a bad shaped hat, but it's not miscolored.
His hat got left in the dryer on the wrong setting.
Yeah, it's sort of like melted. Right. It's like, like sort of, yeah, it needs to be ironed, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, you just got it like right out of the laundry. And
they forgot to starch his hat.
Yeah, didn't do the wrinkle-free dryer sheets or anything.
It looks expensive to me. Like, it looks like an expensive hat. So I would take that out of the
New Mexico
for its, you know.
Okay. Well, let's see if we could place this. Okay. Here we go. Is it better than the Forget You Go Home Goodbye? Should it be?
I think it should at least be an Ain't No Hershey Bar because it is both a hat. And I think it's not as much, again, as like just an eyesore as the Danny hat and the Johnny Fairplay hat. Those yeah. feel like distinctly in a different section than the hat that Probst is wearing.
So I think it's in this tier because I feel like that this is the tier of oddball hats. Whereas the second tier are we have like improvised hats and hats that define somebody's look. Whereas this did not go on to be the same. If you wanted to have like the Survivor logo baseball right. cap, that would be a hat that would be synonymous with Jeff Probst.
Right. This is more so like his like awkward teenage phase where he's trying out different things mm-hmm. quite literally. And he's like, I'm going to try a cowboy.
Yeah. Here. This is like Cochran trying on Rancher Rick's hat more so than it is like, you know, Victoria's beanie.
Yeah.
What do you think, Chantel?
He might be able to be sitting beside Cochran there just because I remember him to wearing this hat because I don't really fully remember Cochran wearing that particular hat. So I do feel that its memorability is going to bump him a couple up. I feel like it's above Cochran, to be honest.
Okay.
Should we put him next to Colby?
Oh, back to the old friends.
Exactly. And you keep Cochran and Ozzy next to each other.
Yes. Mike, is that what you like here? You're the Survivor historian on the panel. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I like this. I mean, I think it is a pretty janky hat, and it's a weird hat compared to what we're going to get from Jeff later on, which is much more of like a standard costume. But that being said, I think it's interesting enough to stick out amongst this sort of class that, like you said, like the Lauren hat, the Colby hat, and the Cochran hat in particular, which are like so random and out of nowhere that you remember it, and then you're like, oh, but it wasn't the thing that they're known for necessarily.
Yeah.
It's not part of their image. So I do feel like actually Jeff kind of fits in here smack dab in the middle.
Okay. Can I throw some other hats at you that are from Todd Herzog pop figures of Survivors are wearing hats? Okay.
I want to hear
Tell me if they should have been on our list. Okay. Jake Billingsley.
Oh, did he? I think he had a cowboy hat. Did he not?
Yeah. He has sort of like a safari hat. Okay. I'll take that as a no. No for Jake Billingsley. Okay. Roger Bingham, green trucker hat. It is the Lauren Rimmer of trucker hats. Mm. Solid color, green, no logo.
Might save that one for the sequel. It does. I don't know if we want to put him up against Elizabeth competing against each other, but it is a hat, unlike Elizabeth's.
Yeah. Okay. Chantel, does that do anything for you?
Remember him, so
okay, that's fine. Survivor, okay. Keith Nail has a his own camo esque hat.
I'm saving that one for the sequel. Look, I had to parse things out.
Okay, I'm just saying if there's anything that you haven't thought of. And then Elaine Stott also with a little bee hat.
Yeah, I mean, I think I didn't want to pump this too much with all the bee hats. I think now that we have established mm-hmm. the top tier that is the little bee hat, I think we can now sort of judge based off that all the takeoffs, whether it's the little bee hat or T-Bird's Atlanta Breeze.
The little A hat. Yeah,
exactly. Or even Boston Rob's initial Patriots hat. I think now that we've established the bar for that, now we can judge based
None
on
of
that.
My hats made the list, Mike.
Unfortunately, not. you wore them today, so I think you are the true winner of this ranking overall. This has survived the test of time.
Yes, I mean, I don't know why people don't want to put this hat into their rankings. Here, let me, in case you don't remember what it looked like, that here.
That takes me back.
This will bring back some memories.
I feel like it's 2004 all over again.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right. So let's take a look at the board.
Yeah.
See what we did here. All right. Forget you. Go home. Goodbye. These are hats that are ratchet or not hats at all. From best to worst, Elizabeth Hilarski's immunity headdress. Phillips feather. Neither of these are hats. Johnny Fairplay will lie for food. It is a hat, but it is not a good joke. And finally, Danny Boatwright, Kansas City Chiefs, hat that is melted. This is not good. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe to your point, because it was so hot in Guatemala, maybe it was an actual like fine cowboy hat and it just really crumpled up under the sun.
If you wore this to the Super Bowl this year and people would make fun of you, like that is a bad hat. Not good. All right. Chantel, any thoughts on the forget you go home goodbye?
I feel good about this. Like, I can't picture them in any other place on the board. I don't think there's any argument that could sell me from them being anywhere but this tier. You could maybe sell me on moving it around, but I'm comfortable with this being in the order. And I feel like this is where they should land.
Yeah, I'm happy that we've sort of settled on the conclusion that no hat is better than bad hat.
Mike, what do you think about a State Farm commercial where Jake wears this hat and then Patrick Mahomes chastises him?
Yeah, he's like, what the hell are you wearing? He's like pouring ketchup all over his steak and nobody gets to take the discount because he's wearing a really ugly hat. I think that could really further the character.
Okay. All right. Ain't no Hershey bar. These are oddities.
Yeah, I would say like potpourri, like sort of like the ones that either were not good enough
potpourri
for my life.
Potpourri is coming back soon.
Yeah, exactly. Spoiler alert. But not nearly as they're all hats and they're all of some sort of quality, but none of them have really superseded the level of my life is fine.
Okay. This level starts with Lauren Rimmer's white hat, which cannot be stained. We have Todd's hat that played two seasons. We have Colby in the Tundra hat somehow in the Outback. We have Jeff Probst wearing the melted hat while he's trying to find his look. Cochran tries on Rancher Rick's hat. Ozzy wears a straw hat. And Courtney Moon has flappy ears as a whale has swallowed her head. Pickles Mike.
They all work so well together, though. I feel like this is a good order as well. Yeah. I can't really place anybody differently. Yeah. They're all memorable, but they're not specifically memorable. Like they all kind of, this is the right tier for them.
Mike, I'm going to send you that hat for Asher.
I need that right now. I need the whale to eat all my family and friends.
So cute.
Okay. Then we go to the second highest tier. My life is fine. Okay. These are hats ranked 5 through 9 on our list. These are improvised or iconic hats. Edna Ma with her tree mail visor. Sydney Guillon. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
I don't know if it's Guillon or just Gillian.
Okay. Sydney G. She wore the cover of the rice. Victoria wore a beanie. Big Tom wore a white hat that inspired Ethan Zahn many years later.
Which is canonically true.
Yes. Sandra wears her army camo hat. And then we have the iconic four, the Mount Rushmore of Survivor hats. From 4 to 1, Jerry Manthey, Jonathan Penner, Russell Hance. And hey, don't forget my name. They call me Boston Raw.
Just don't look at that statue.
Don't look at the statue. It was an artist's rendering.
I feel really good about this list.
This is a great list of iconic Survivor hats. Chantel, we did it.
We did do it. I feel like I need to take a picture of this just in case I need to reference it. Like
screenshot. In the okay.
Yeah, I'm going
to. Screenshot and send it to Ethan and see how he reacts.
Full screen There's our list of the top Survivor hats. All right.
I mean, I feel like this knowledge is going to come back to me at one point for me. So I'm going to study it.
Okay. All right. So, Mike, what do we do now?
So, I mean, now we have a list. You know, we announced this before Thanksgiving. I think we're going to do these every other week. So Rob, you and I are going to be back a couple of weeks from now to outwit, outplay, outlist another miscellaneous topic.
Yeah, well, I mean, Mike, my dance card is somewhat open here in December.
Yeah, mine might not be. We might have to wait until the amazing race is over before I can sign on aboard anything. But yeah, so that being said, we are looking for topics to talk about. We have seen in this very podcast the directions we can go in with random ass stuff to talk about with Survivor. So feel free to send us any and all ideas. We are contemplating them. We are working them through. But I've been so happy with this so far. I hope people have been enjoying this because I've been having such a great time getting to talk about all this random Survivor mishigash that has built up over the course of 20 years that we just haven't had the proper outlet to discuss it on.
Yes. All right. Well, I can't wait to come back and outwit, outplay, outlist once again. Okay. Chantel, where can people keep up with what you're doing?
I'm definitely still hanging out on YouTube on Reality Realness with 3 S's is my little channel that I'm trying to build here. I've been talking about
what are you covering now? Yes.
Bachelorette I'm doing. Still do Amazing Race as well and Masked Singer. And I just started doing Sequester as well. So with JoJo, who's another Sequester mini kind of superstar. And so he knows all the players. And so that's been kind of fun. So those
Chantel,
are the shows.
Are you a Sequester alum?
I played a one mini, yes.
How did it go?
It should have gone a lot better.
Oh, wow.
I was first member of the jury, so I was 9th out of 24.
At least you made jury.
Yes, I made jury for sure. But the guests, I was the only person that has never had played before. Everybody was either returnees or they were like 2-time winners. Like I was playing with a really strong cast of people that already knew each other. And so maneuvering that was a little bit challenging being someone that was like super green, but I definitely enjoyed it. I would play it again. And I think I know how to get to the end and win.
Yes. That is very important because I feel like I do not know necessarily what is the skill set required to do well on Sequester.
I think it might come down to the hat. I think if you wear that hat next time you play Sequester, I mean, you did pretty damn well your first time, but that might help you even more.
Okay. All right. Chantel, this was so great to have you here.
Yeah.
It was so fun. I got to wear a hat and talk about silliness. It was great. Yes. I love being here.
We got to wear hats. Of course, Mike Bloom has so much going on. But Mike, before you get into that, we do have somebody on the line who has a bone to pick with you. The great Jonathan Penner wants to say something to you.
Mike, I can't believe you said only incels wear fedoras.
I didn't think you'd hear that part.
Where do you get off?
I'm so sorry. There's always exceptions to the rule. I think I assume I know what it is.
In a cell. I haven't been in a cell since I got pulled over after a bachelor party in 1982.
Oh, well, that sounds like a fantastic story. Look, Peter, I don't want to feud with your impression, okay? This isn't like RAJP circa 2017 when that was a bit. So I want to bury things in the past so we can move on. Your hat is lovely. There's always an exception to the rule. And Jonathan, you are that exception, baby.
All right. All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome, Jonathan.
Okay. All right. Mike, back to you. What do you have coming up?
Ooh, I'm so shaken now after that surprise cameo here. Well, so Rob and I are doing Amazing Race coverage 2 times over. The 24 hours ago, you and I were covering the anti-penultimate episode with the great Jessica Leese. We'll be doing the tar pit this weekend, getting into Everything is Silly with the 3rd-to-last episode in Cambodia. Of course, on post-show recaps, I'm going down the hatch with Josh Wigler, doing our Lost rewatch, and doing Star Trek Discovery with Jessica Leese. And then this coming week, I'm actually going to be doing both Star Trek and Star Wars. I'm going to be swinging in on the Mandalorian podcast, talking about some pretty memorable hats as well in terms of Mando's helmet.
Is a helmet a hat?
I think it might. It covers the head.
Hold on. Let me look this up.
If a Mandalorian helmet is a hat.
Is a helmet a hat?
Also have brims, so.
A hard hat is a type of helmet. I'll give it to you.
Like brim. This hard-hitting coverage and hard-hatting coverage I might have to bring over to post-show recaps. But Rob, this is not going to be the last time you and I are talking Survivor this week.
Yes.
So with the Survivor being brought to Netflix, there has been a large conversation and a huge influx of new fans to the series. And the inevitable question has come up among the super fan community. What season should I recommend to a new fan of Survivor? And so, Rob, you, me and the great Shannon Gus are going to be getting together to really talk through first what Survivor being brought to Netflix means and what might come next for it. We'll talk through the various ways you can recommend seasons to people, and then with a nice, fun, complicated flow chart that'll make everyone's brains explode. So, you know, your typical Friday night. But I'm very
There's going to be a visual element to this?
There may be. You know what? There may be some surprises there, but I'm very excited for this one because obviously this is like the hot topic of the Survivor fandom right now. Not to say that hats aren't, but, you know, there's a lot of discourse right now about people. All my Twitter timeline is full of his celebrities being like, I just watched Survivor and I love it. What season should I watch next? And hopefully this podcast will serve as the answer.
Okay. All right. Looking forward to that. Of course, we got to cover the Amazing Race on Wednesday night. Check that out. I had a very fun talking with T-Bird this week, talking to Cindy Hall. And of course, Rob and Akiva need a podcast coming up. Akiva and I are going to punch up some ideas that need some help, all on the next Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. Of course, it's the start of a new month. Great time to jump in and become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. Help support all the podcasting we have going on. Participate in a lot of our patron games that we're playing right now. robhaswebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much for watching. Please let us know in the comments what lists you would like to see next. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.